sunny, 49 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Electronic Boutique. L.A. Lakers star Kobe Bryant's initial pretrial hearing is underway in Eagle. Bruce Morton reports.
Experts from both sides will get an audience with the judge to discuss the parameters of tests regarding physical evidence. This in response to a prosecution motion that was supported by the defense. Another motion heard by Judge Terry Ruckriegel came from the defense asking that he force the prosecution to name names as to who in the sheriff's and DA's office received what defense attorney Pamela Mackey called inflammatory T-shirts depicting a stick figure hangman bearing Bryant's name. Bruce Morton, Eagle, Colorado.
There are a lot of issues on the table today in Eagle. If they're not all wrapped up by the end of the day today, the hearing will be continued January 23rd. A Salvation Army bell ringer who is disabled and in a wheelchair was robbed yesterday by a man who posed as a Salvation Army worker. The man stole the kettle from the bell ringer outside the Denver post office at 20th and Champa. Patricia McDonald says she refused to give up the kettle to the man, but he was able to pull it away from her. McDonald has been a Salvation Army bell ringer for 17 years. Reportedly, she was not injured in that robbery yesterday. Meanwhile, the Salvation Army says they have hit a Christmas emergency with not enough toys collected. Officials with the charity say some 700 kids could go without toys if more donations don't come in right away. To donate, call the Salvation Army for details. The family of Denise Washington is suing the Aurora Police Department. Washington, a mentally ill woman, was killed by an Aurora officer in August after she gouged the officer's arm with a brass candlestick outside her apartment. Her father says she was no longer taking an antidepressant. Police say Officer John J. Austin was forced to shoot Washington in self-defense. The autopsy report says she had a history of bipolar and delusional disorders and showed that those conditions may have been aggravated by allergy medication. The White House says it has been warning security officials to be on a heightened state of alert because of an increasing number of threat reports. White House spokesman Scott McClellan says they have been concerned about the volume of threats, and the Department of Homeland Security has sent out several bulletins over the past several weeks asking security officials and law enforcement personnel to be on alert. Meanwhile, New York City police say there is no credible intelligence of a terrorist threat to their city. A statement released by a spokesman for Police Commissioner Raymond Kelly says the police department has no credible intelligence pointing to a specific or imminent terrorist threat to New York City. A report by an unnamed U.S. intelligence official said authorities are, quote, very concerned about the volume of threats against U.S. interests both at home and abroad. Regarding the threat to New York City, the official said they are in the process of trying to determine if it is credible and trying to corroborate it. Numerous family members of victims of last year's D.C. area sniper shooting spree are taking the stand today as the sentencing phase of convicted shooter Lee Malvo continues. Malvo faces a possible death sentence in the case. Kathy Culpepper has more.
The wife of bus driver Conrad Johnson talked about her love for her husband. Jay Wallacher, the brother of Pascal Wallacher, talked about how close his family was. Victoria Snyder, Sonny Buchanan's sister, cried as she said John Muhammad and Lee Boyd Malvo devastated so many lives. Dean Myers' brother, Larry Myers, talked about how kind, loving, and generous Dean Myers was and how much he was loved and missed. Kathy Culpepper, Chesapeake.
An attack on a convoy in Iraq carrying U.S. Administrator Paul Bremer was not an assassination attempt. Bremer spokesman Dan Senor confirms there was an attack on December 6th, but it was not necessarily directed at Bremer.
His party was traveling. It was from an impromptu meeting. It was not scheduled. It did not appear on his schedule. Nobody knew about the meeting. We have reason to believe that it was just a random opportunistic attack, not necessarily specifically targeted at him.
This morning, Bremer confirmed an NBC News report on the attack, told reporters, quote, "Thankfully, I am still alive and here I am in front of you." It happened December 6th as Bremer was returning from the Baghdad airport. The convoy was able to speed away. No one was injured. Santa and his reindeer have been given a holiday green light in their flight plan to fly around the world and deliver presents to good little boys and girls. With a candy cane pen, Transportation Secretary Norman Mineta signed the certificate for Santa's route today. On Wall Street at this hour, the three major indices all lower. Dow is down just about 9 points. The Nasdaq down just over 13. And the S&P 500 down about 3.5. In sports, both the Colorado Avalanche and Denver Nuggets will be in California tonight. Avs will be playing the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. Nuggets will play the L.A. Lakers. Here's a holiday tip from EB Games. Trade in your used video games for huge discounts on all the hottest new releases. Only at EB Games and Electronics Boutique, where we take games seriously. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
This Saturday at Sears from 7 to 10 a.m., save an extra 10% throughout the store, even on sale prices. All the best gifts all in one store. Save on all cozy fall and holiday sweaters, coats for the family, and on all fine jewelry. With great savings on TVs, DVD players, and digital cameras, now is the time to upgrade your home electronics. Plus, between 7 and 10 a.m., all camcorders are on sale. Hurry into the Saturday early open sale. Shop early and give the good life. Sears, good life, great price. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Find us online at Sears.com. Sale date 12/20.
Going home for the holidays. An hour to the airport, 3 hours at the gate, two on the runway, and five in the air. Your traveling companion? One achy back. Unless you wear a Thermacare heat wrap. Thermacare gives you powerful pain relief for your back, neck, or shoulder. It's 8 hours of deep down heat, so tight muscles relax, and pain goes away. Get Thermacare in the pain reliever aisle. Because after flying, you gotta start driving.
KNRC News Time is 12:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is a service of Denver Water, and we're clearing an accident westbound I-70 at Quebec, but another one's popped up southbound I-25 at Washington, so a bit of trouble for people trying to head down into the Narrows and on along down into the tech center. Keeping your shower to under 5 minutes can save up to 1,000 gallons of water a month. Visit denverwater.org for more water-saving tips. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC Traffic.
I'm Jennifer Naramore with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Fairly quiet and mild weather as we're going throughout the next couple of days. Wall-to-wall sunshine today, our high temperature climbing to 55 degrees. Mainly clear tonight, low 32. The winds pick up a little bit for tomorrow. Partly cloudy skies with a high of 57. Staying cloudy on Sunday and a little cooler, upper 40s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Jennifer Naramore on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's sunny, 54 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now, the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock, and then I'm not going to be yours for about a week more. I'll be back on the 29th. So all of next week, Jerome Davis will be filling in for me, and I thank him for doing it. I really am appreciative. I'm going to San Francisco, and and I can't wait. I'm so excited about it. So today is a kind of a Christmas show and a Hanukkah show for everybody, wishing everybody happy Hanukkah and a Merry Christmas in advance, and I'll be here to wish you a Happy New Year, which I hope is rich in blessings for all of us. When I return, I'll be here Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week. Coming up in January, we're going to be joined by Linda Fairstein, who we've had on before. She's become a novelist and a blockbuster one at that, but she made her chops as a prosecutor, the district attorney in Manhattan, a DA, and headed up the sex crimes unit, and she has a pretty illustrious resume. Dean Adell will be joining us, and those of you who are fans of his, Dr. Dean Adell, you can see him, or you used to be able to see him a lot on television all over the country, and certainly to hear him on radio because he's syndicated, and he's syndicated out of San Francisco, and he's an old friend, and I'm delighted that he'll be joining us. He has a new book out called Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Healthiness, Mark Kurlansky, 1968, The Year That Rocked the World, and lots of other guests. We really try to bring you the best guests that we possibly can, people who are worth our time. I'm not interested in a guest for guest's sake. I'm interested in somebody who has something illuminating to say to us. Sometimes the people who have the most to say don't sound like they're the most glib. Sometimes they don't have that energy that we're used to in broadcast. But you have to listen more carefully. Maybe they're soft-spoken. Maybe they aren't used to speaking to a lot of people at one time. But sometimes those are the people who have the most to tell us and the most to share with us. And I'm always intrigued by ideas that we need to hear. There's a essay today in the New York Times, Bob Herbert, talking about how we are considered some of the most informed people in the world. But what are we informed about lately? If you're looking on cable TV, what are you going to see? You're going to see Paris Hilton. You're going to see Michael Jackson. You're going to see the verdict on Lee Boy Valvo. You're going to see Lacey Peterson. You're going to see what else is cooking with Scott Garagos. Maybe the Diana, the Princess Di inquest. That's what you're going to see, whereas a lot of us are kind of interested in the direction the country's going. And it's fine when it's not a dangerous moment. contemplate these things as we approach the year's end. Here's one of the things I'm offended by at the year's end. These top 10 lists of everything. Top 10 movies, top 10 this, top 10 that. Forget that stuff. I always think it's best to do your own top 10 list. Start to evaluate if you can. Take a little bit of time. It's a very crowded time of year, I know. But try to take some time to evaluate, what did the year accomplish? Where did you go with it? What worked? What didn't work? It'll give you some insight into some perspective into what you can do in the coming year. And my mother, who died about a year and a half ago, said when she, you know, got much older in life, she looked at me one day and she said, you know, it just goes by just like that. And she clicked her fingers, just like that. It goes by that quickly. And it does go by that quickly. Suddenly, you realize that, gee, that everything happened very quickly. And somebody whose child you happen to be, you knitted a blanket for, is now old enough to vote practically. So lots to be grateful for, lots of merriment in this season, lots to be thankful for. Always good to demonstrate the attitude of gratitude as we approach the most sacred time of year and perhaps the most commercial, all at one time, all dancing in each other's arms. Rush Limbaugh's spin team has come up with a secret plan to save their boss. Why do I bring up Rush after I just said that I've had enough of all this cheesiness? Well, he's my competition, I guess. We have to know what he's up to. Anyway, he has come up with a secret plan, his spin team, to save their boss after he admitted he was addicted to painkillers. This is according to the New York Daily News. The plan is involved taking up former Senator Bob Dole's offer to, quote, help Rush, and by getting him to write a letter, a supportive letter, to Newsweek magazine. Now, I don't think I've seen it appear. If it has, I'm not aware of it. Newsweek did a sort of an expose of Rush. This is a memo to Rush's boss, and they're hoping to use Bob Dole's letter as PR. A positive PR, and they want the Rush's boss to send a memo to Congress with updates on coverage, advertiser, and affiliate feedback. And I don't know. It just sounds like they're hoping to post a call to action on Rush's website, telling his audience that the best way they can support him is to stay tuned to his local station. So what they are fearing, apparently, is any erosion to his audience, and therefore it would affect the advertisers. If the audience shrinks in size, the advertisers are commensurately less interested. And I'm thinking that as he is becoming more and more the target of a criminal investigation, as, according to the tabloids, the news is tightening more and more around him, I think that this will have some impact on his audience. His success is monstrous. So it may take a while for it to register completely, but I believe that there will be some erosion. You may want to comment. You may want to weigh in on that. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. More scandal. Kobe Bryant. There is a poll. 1 in 3 Coloradans think that Kobe Bryant is innocent of the charges. He's in court today. They're facing off on 16 motions. This is a pretrial hearing. Kobe and his attorneys entered the courtroom about a half an hour before the hearing scheduled 9 a.m. start. This morning, TV cameras are barred from the proceedings. Key motions under consideration are defense requests for medical and mental health records of the accused and for Colorado's rape shield law to be lifted for this case, plus a prosecution motion to keep private any discussions about false rape accusations Bryant's accuser may have made in the past. So anyway, they want a gag order on some of what Kobe's accuser is saying, but then they want to get all of her private medical records on the other hand. So that, to me, is pretty interesting. As we said yesterday, Michael Jackson is formally charged with child molestation. And these charges, what I couldn't understand is that Los Angeles cleared him in February. Well, these charges occurred after that report that cleared him, and these cover a period of time from February 7th to March 10. The dates are important because from Feb 14 to Feb 27, the L.A. Department of Child and Family Services conducted a preliminary investigation of the boy, this cancer-stricken victim in question, his relationship with Mr. Jackson. In a confidential report based on interviews with the boy, his siblings, and his mother, which was leaked to the media this month, child welfare officials stated that they believe the accusations of illicit conduct were unfounded. What Garagos is saying is that the charges against Jackson occurred the day after that documentary aired apparently on Michael Jackson, the English documentary, Martin Bashir. He's the one who interviewed Princess Di, where Michael says, oh, he likes to sleep with young boys, but just sleep. It doesn't mean sex. Jackson acknowledged in the interview with Martin Bashir that at times he shared a bed with children, calling it, quote, an innocent and loving act. An official from the boys' school who saw it telephoned an abuse line resulting in the inquiry. This is according to a memorandum. The reason that Jackson gets his passport back is he's got a gig in England, and it would be a financial hardship for him if he were to have to turn that down. So he gets his passport long enough to go to England. We hope he comes back. And in the meantime, when he does come back, he will have to surrender his passport. John Andrews, who you would think would have more to do than to try to root out whether there are enough conservatives on college campuses, a bunch of college students, he managed to unearth a bunch of college students who were bitching and whining about how they've been subjected to ridicule, hostility, and bad grades because of their conservative views. All students think that they are always happy to whine about being subjected to hostility, not being taken seriously enough. So he managed to find a few that call themselves conservative. Again, may I ask the question that offends so many of you? Is it possible, is it entirely possible that conservatives are just not as smart as progressives? 303-382-1150. So you got these dummy students complaining, bitching and moaning and whining that nobody's taking them seriously, and it's only because they're conservative. Maybe it's just because they're dumb. What do you think about that? 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. I have been watching with great interest the coming forward of Essie Mae Washington William Strom Thurmond's black daughter. She's almost 80 years old, 78 years old, and for her whole life, she has always publicly kept quiet that Strom Thurmond was her father, because had she said anything, it would have derailed his career to some extent, less so in later years, but certainly it would have had a huge impact when he was a raging segregationist. She now says peace has come over her because she's been able to make a clean breast of it publicly, and you have to admire her. She's from the old school. I like her a lot, but she could have sunk him at any time, and she never did it. He has given her money through the years. You could call it hush money, or you could call it the money that a father gives a daughter when he loves her and helps her. And it sounds like there was a lot of affection between the two of them. But you may want to comment on that. Here he was, a segregationist by day, but sleeping with the family maid, who happened to be African-American by night, when he still lived in its parents' home. It's been said that the Democrats are going to be having a tough time. And a friend of mine, who is a raging Democrat, says he thinks he's going to support John Kerry. Now, John Kerry has been compared to a tree for all of his spark and vitality. In fact, it's hard to know which is the tree and which is John Kerry. He's taking out a big mortgage on his house, and he's going to put almost $1 million into his own campaign from his own pocket. I'm not so sure that's a wise idea. Democrats right now are getting shaky feet over Howard Dean. They are uneasy with him as the nominee. They think that his anti-war stance is going to hurt the party and hurt him. Is this just a bunch of jelly-bellied, liver-lilied Democrats who don't have any cojones to speak of, who are among the nearly comatose, quaking in their boots? I mean, Dean is the guy who's got the most support right now. Dean is the guy who's been able to raise the most money. Dean is the guy who has the clearest shot at becoming the next president of the United States. And a lot of Democrats are very nervous. And so what that means is they're going to fragment among themselves, and George W. Bush will be reelected. 303-382-1150. Does what Dean said in the face, now we'd still have almost a year to the election, but does what Dean says in the face of the capture of Saddam, that America's no more safer? You know, he only stated the obvious as far as I'm concerned. What he said was true. That there's no, how are we any safer whether we have Saddam or we don't have Saddam? And by the way, the capture of Saddam exposes something that many of us don't know anything about, and that is that we have a network of prisons all over the world. Undisclosed locations where maybe Dick Cheney's getting himself a suntan, I don't know, but they are all over the world. Places where we think that Saddam is still in Baghdad, but there are places where, this is amazing to me, they have guards, our people, dressed in Arab uniforms because it is thought that the Arabs are much more hostile than our people. And so what they're trying to do is dupe some of these high-level terrorists that they have in custody into thinking that they're being guarded by Arabs, which is amazing because the minute these so-called Arabs dressed in Arab uniform open their mouth, you're going to hear an accent from Georgia or Texas or someplace. 303-382-1150. I don't get some of this stuff. Democrats are uneasy. They are apparently very uneasy with Howard Dean as the candidate. They don't think he can do it. Now, Kerry may seem more presidential, and he certainly has a lot of experience. He's been on the right side of a lot of issues, but he's got a haircut from the 70s, and he's got a personality like a tree, and I don't see that he sparked anybody's imagination, even though he probably could be a pretty decent president. But you've got to ask yourself, it's one thing to run the campaign, it's another thing to run the country. Sometimes you can run a really vital energetic campaign, and you're not so good at running the country. Look at Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's one crisis after another since he took office. Why did he think, in his arrogance, here's a guy who, the groper in chief of California. I'm going to get the read on that when I get to San Francisco on Sunday. But here is a guy who is thought, you know, the celebrity. He rode that crest right into office, and now he's got very hard choices to make, and he's kind of screwing up a little bit, left and right. California's in even a greater fiscal crisis. So 303-382-1150, what do you think about Howard Dean? A lot of people are getting nervous about Howard Dean in the wake of what he said. What was the big deal about what he said? What he said was absolutely right. 303-382-1150, I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Sit very still.
Don't fidget while I talk to you.
You won't want to miss a word. AM 1150. KNRC.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
We co-host Style Matters Live on AM 1150 KNRC. You know that we know great shopping. That's why for this holiday season, we'll be at Aspen Grove on Santa Fe and Mineral in Littleton.
You got that right. Aspen Grove is an open-air shopping center. Park right in front of great stores like Pottery Barn, Coldwater Creek, Talbot's, and Chico's. It's an urban feel in the heart of suburbia with seven great restaurants. No food court food here.
Aspen Grove has stores you'd find at any mall, plus a few wonderful exclusives like the Carol Lee Adrian Vitadini shop, the new Italian department store Camille Lavie, and White House Black Market.
He will buy an outfit in white, and then I'm going to buy the same one in black.
I heard that. For the holidays, Aspen Grove has free carriage rides. Have the whole family sign up for the gift registry. Make sure everyone gets what they really want.
Aspen Grove is located on Santa Fe at Mineral and Littleton near the light rail station. Open Mondays through Saturdays 10 to 9 and Sundays 11 to 6.
You can't top Aspen Grove, where life meets style.
Some people prefer the right wing. Others prefer the left wing. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC. Our diverse lineup of talk show hosts features more viewpoints and perspectives than any other Denver talk station. Join Greg Dobbs from 6 to 10 a.m. Bill O'Reilly from 10 to noon. Enid Goldstein from noon to 3. Doug Kellen from 3 to 6. Dominic and Bill from 6 to 9 p.m. Lionel from 9 to midnight, followed by Alan Combs. Get your side. Get their side. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
A woman whose bark is as bad as her bite. 303-382-1150. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. You're listening to Enid Live. It is the fabulous Friday edition, and for me, the holiday edition, because Hanukkah's tonight, and because I'm going to be gone all next week, I'm going to be in San Francisco, so I'll bring you tales of California, if I have any, to bring that I can share and mix company that I can bring you. We're talking about a lot of things. We're talking about primarily what we're talking about is a lot of Democrats are getting nervous suddenly about Howard Dean. Now, you had Al Gore endorsing him right away because he leads so tremendously. He really has left the everybody else in his wake. He's leading by quite a lot. But a lot of people are nervous because he said when Saddam Hussein was captured, he said, hey, does this make America safer? It doesn't. It makes no difference at all, one way or the other. And let me just tell you, the information that I have about America being safer, headline from the Post, funding scarce for Homeland Security in Colorado. Terrorism drills showed lack of preparedness. That's from today's paper. So you've got a lot of holes in our security in this country. Nobody is addressing that, and nobody wants to hear that the emperor is standing around naked, flop, 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 and flop, and wiggle, 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 303-382-1150. Bob on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Bob.
Enid, I wish all of your readers, including yourself, would read the most current issue of U.S. News, the World Report. It's the one with the Jesus Christ on the front. It talks about the Jesus Code. But on there is a 9-page report about the secrecy of the Bush administration. It's a 5-month study done by U.S. News. And if it doesn't scare the bejesus out of you, I don't know what will. There is no way, after you read that article, that any Democrat or any independent or anybody is going to win a race for the White House in 2004. They have sucked in every major corporation and CEO of the United States to voluntarily give information, and they'll cloak it under the secrecy of the Patriot Act, and you're immune from prosecution, you're immune from any other agency coming after you, or anything. And everybody's jumping in right now to get that immunity. Firestone Tires, all the automotive makers, everybody else in there. Lawyers can't get information for lawsuits. It's unbelievable.
I think somebody sent it to me. Can you send it to me right now?
I'm not at home right now. I'm out in a car, but I will send it.
All right, this is the current U.S. News and World Report.
U.S. News.
Can we get it online, do you think?
You can get it online, www.usnews.
All right, www.usnews.com?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to do that right now because I think somebody sent it to me. I have it at home, and I haven't had a chance to look at it. So Bob,
it's 9 pages long. I understand it's long, but it goes into every facet. And the only two companies that weren't included, or two industries that weren't included, was the drug industry and the insurance industry, and the Medicare bill took care of them.
So did the Medicare bill ever take care of them?
You're right. And so why should these companies vote for anybody else? They're preserving themselves.
Let me just tell you, I want to give you something here that a friend sent me. Health HMOs are going to start reaping the benefits of the new... This is very little reported. I have not heard any word of this, so listen up on this one. Health HMOs are going to start reaping the benefits of the new Medicare law with higher payments beginning in March. In March, just in 3 months, well before most seniors get significant help with their pharmacy bill. So the HMOs, the fix is in. They're getting their money right away. The new prescription drug benefits don't even begin until January of 2006, but the HMOs are going to receive an additional $1.3 billion in 2004 and 2005 under the law. People have said that when you find out what is actually in that Medicare bill, there's going to be a huge firestorm. And that strikes me as getting the ball rolling, not to mention the fact that the flu season right now, why are they charging triple the price? Why do they get to do that? Because there's a shortage of flu vaccine. Why are they doing that?
Yeah, and going to your topic with Dean, you know, this thing here, if you read the article and you see what's going on, and here we are in this country where the Democrats are fighting one another, and without them knowing about it, they're so busy fighting one another that all this whole scheme is coming together. And every major industry in the United States is locked in to support Bush and go. You've got a $100 million chest. He's got all these corporations in there under the Secrecy Act. You will take that thing down, and think you're in 1930 Germany. I'm telling you.
Why don't people get outraged? I want to know, Bob, why are not people not more outraged about this?
Well, because the way that things are going in this country, the people don't feel like their voice has a thing. We, every 4 years, turn around and elect officials. They go to Washington, and all they listen to is big interest in the lobbyists. The constituencies in the United States, the more, are just forgotten by both sides of the aisle. It really doesn't matter. And now you're out there, you've got Halliburton and all this kind of stuff. Listen. All Bush has got it taken care of. It wouldn't surprise me one bit. And you look at 1930 Germany, I mentioned this before, it's almost a direct pattern, because if anybody in the 30s in Germany spoke against the government, they were unpatriotic, un-German. We got the same thing here. If you speak against the government, you're unpatriotic, you're un-American. He went in to save the world economy from the Jews. Now we're saving the world economy from terrorists / Arabs. And we've already been to Afghanistan. That was Hitler's Poland.
Well,
we're in Iraq, and Sigmund Hirsch from the
Seymour Hirsch.
Seymour Hersh from the New York
New Yorker magazine, yeah,
says that Wolfowitz has got plans to go into Syria and Iran.
Bob, I'm glad that you're turning us on to the U.S. News and World Report report on secrecy. I'm going to look it over. We're going to try and get it. Are we able to find it, Joe? I think we're printing it right now. So let me look it over and we'll talk about it. And thank you so much, Bob, for directing our.
You'll flip out when you read it.
I know it. Every day I pick up the newspaper and I get more and more outraged, and I don't know why more of America doesn't get more and more outraged. Bob, I thank you for the call, and thanks for the heads up. 303-382-1150. Kyle calling from Aurora. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Kyle.
Hey, I guess to try and hit your topics, the Dean issue. You know, I guess I would agree with the prior caller, because he said, you know, it's the Democrats can't come up with an agenda and a uniform platform. And in this primary race, what you have is instead of somebody saying, this is what I want to do and this is how I'm going to do it, you know, you got people saying instead, you know, it's why somebody else doesn't have the right stuff. That's my one comment on that.
Say that again. In other words, in the Democratic roster of potential candidates.
Instead of have anyone really emerging as a true leader, well, you know, perhaps except for maybe Lieberman, but he's not getting much attention, saying this is what we have to do as Democrats, and this is how I'm.
I wouldn't vote for Lieberman unless he was the absolute only choice. I mean, I'd vote for anybody but Bush. Don't get me wrong there, but of the field of candidates, Lieberman is one of my least favorite guys.
Well,
I mean, he's really so part of the establishment.
But at least the guy looks you in the eye and says, "This is what I want to do, and this is how I'm going to do it." He doesn't sit there and say, "This is why Dean isn't presidential. This is why Kerry isn't this." You know, I'm just saying that from a marketing standpoint. You know, stop telling us what's wrong with everybody else and tell us what you're going to do.
Well, I'll tell you what this. I'm going to tell you the scandal. What a lot of the campaigns, Kerry's campaign, and I think Lieberman's also. First of all, there are some groups that have real pompous sounding names, like their grassroots organizations, and in fact, they're groups of other Democrats trying to sink the ones that are out in front, like Dean. And then you've got some of the Kerry's campaign people who wanted to diss Dean on background and never be named, but the New York Times outed them. And I think somebody maybe in Lieberman's campaign, the same, who wanted to diss another candidate, and they too were outed. So there's a lot of infighting going on.
And I think that the average American voter is really turned off by that.
Well, I mean, you just have to swallow it and figure out who you want to have the candidate be and really go full tilt behind that person. Otherwise, you're going to have four more years of Bush, and it's going to be a disaster for this country.
That was just my thought on that. And then I guess, you know, it's interesting, this thing about, and this is not meant as any kind of criticism or anything, because I think it's the way a lot of people think, but, you know, it's an internet real-time world, and, you know, whether, you know, capturing Saddam, you know, is going to make us safer, or Schwarzenegger is going to make California better or worse, I guess, you know, my only point is, do we get a day or a month or, you know, a quarter to see? I mean, you know, you just know, it's like in America, it's like,
you got to know it right now.
If it doesn't happen, you know, today, then, you know, you failed.
This is a country that is suffering on a massive level from ADD. Kyle, I thank you for the call. I want to ask you a question. George Soros is going to put a huge amount of money, and here, Republicans bitching about that, to try to defeat President Bush in the next election. Remember Skife? What was his name? Mellon Skife, the guy who funded all the right-wing crazies trying to unseat and impeach Bill Clinton. Let me ask you this question. It's going to take more than TV commercials to turn people's heads around. What would it take for people finally to see what a bunch of liars and secret keepers, people who are just lining their profits, their pockets, and profiteers, people who are profiteering from the war? This is what's running Washington. This is our administration. They're giving their friends every kind of benefit that you can possibly give them, and at the expense of all the rest of us. What will it take for Americans finally to get so furious that they will say, let's vote the rascals out? 303-382-1150. It's not just going to be TV commercials. It's got to be a whole change in mindset. How does that happen? What is it going to take? Jim in Littleton, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Jim.
Actually, I just wanted to actually respond back concerning your comments on Howard Dean.
Yes.
Yeah, actually, I applaud him for being honest, and he is honest about that. Because,
well, it's going to get him in the soup. A lot of Democrats are getting knock-kneed, thinking he's too honest, he's too anti-war, and therefore he can't win.
Well, part of the problem is part of that party, though, is very supportive of some of the reasons that we are unsafe right now, and that's because of the immigration policy, where, you know, like in California, where they try to institute where illegal immigrants can get a driver's licenses, things like that. I mean, let's be honest, the total control, if we really wanted to make our country safe, the first place is in the borders, and we have not addressed that because it is politically not appropriate. And so,
Jim, forget the borders. The borders with which border? Canada?
Canada and.
And Mexico?
And Mexico.
Forget it. It's not going to happen. Forget about it. Yeah. Even the administration is going to loosen up things, and that's why Tom Ridge floated that trial balloon when he was talking to a bunch of people in Miami. It's not going to happen. It's impossible to happen. We're rich. Mexico's not. People will risk their lives to get over here. We can use their labor. We're happy to have cheap labor. We couldn't have an agricultural industry without it. We probably couldn't get the garment industry going without it. And people in Los Angeles like to have other people who are illegals come over and wash their cars in their driveways and nanny their kids.
Well,
and you need them in the restaurants too. So it's a lot of stuff. It's a lot of stuff Americans won't do.
Well, then we'll never be 100% safe.
Well, that isn't where the problem lies. The problem is a far more complicated problem, and if you're just going to the borders, that's not going to be the point. 15 of those hijackers and 9/11, they were all here legally. I think most of them.
I thought most of them came from Canada.
Most of them were here. My recollection of it was that they all followed the letter of the law to not cause any undue attention, that they were all here on some kind of visas. My recollection. Now, somewhat, huh? Student visas, right, because they were all enrolled in these flight schools where they never actually wanted to learn how to fly, only how to learn how to crash into buildings.
Right.
I thank you, Jim, for the call. 303-382-1150. That's not the problem. The problem is a lot more complicated. And here we've got, we don't even have enough money for Homeland Security. So you're telling me America is safer because we went to war? Funding is scarce for Homeland Security in Colorado. That is the headline. State Department lags as no money set aside. That's a headline for Colorado. You think you're safer with this administration? Wake up. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 12:37, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Sunny, 54 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Castrol Syntec, a full synthetic motor oil. NBA superstar Kobe Bryant is in a Colorado courtroom today. His attorneys are expected to try to convince the judge to allow testimony attacking the credibility of the woman who is accusing him of rape. Bryant admits he had sex with a 19-year-old hotel employee but says it was consensual. A trial is not expected until late spring or early summer. The family of a woman who was killed by an Aurora police officer in August is suing the Aurora PD. Denise Washington's family filed a lawsuit in Denver U.S. District Court yesterday. For its part, APD says the officer was forced to shoot the woman in self-defense because she gouged the officer's arm with a brass candlestick. Governor Bill Owens says Colorado is getting about $3 million in grants from the Department of Homeland Security. The money is to help local and state authorities improve their readiness for emergencies. In sports, the Nuggets and Avs, both in California tonight, Nuggets playing the L.A. Lakers, the Avs playing the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. Recently, the leading 5W30 conventional motor oil and Castrol Syntec were tested under extreme heat and stress beyond anything a car would ever face. The winner? Castrol Syntec. Everything else is just motor oil. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:38.
Chocolate and the holidays, they just go together. Kind of like chocolate and romance, chocolate and dessert, chocolate and sex. Well, Greg Dobbs here, and maybe it's just me, but I think chocolate goes well with everything. And if you agree, you may want to try a taste of the best chocolate in Denver at Fifth Avenue Chocolatier. In fact, you might want to give your holiday gifts in chocolate, the finest Belgian chocolate you can find. In the shapes you want, I've ordered some dark chocolate microphones as gifts, inscribed with my message and my name for a few lucky recipients. Imagine something representing your product or your hobby, or maybe you'd like a chocolate company logo or just a business card in succulent chocolate. Whatever you want, they can do it. And wherever you want it to go, they can safely send it. Fifth Avenue Chocolatier. You can see more about what they do at their website, denverchocolate.com, but to smell it and taste it, they've always got wonderful samples to taste. Drop by. They're not actually on Fifth Avenue. They're on Steel Street in Cherry Creek North between 2nd and 3rd. Fifth Avenue Chocolatier. Oh, it's great.
KNRC News. Time is 12:39. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by GM OnStar, and we have an accident coming in 60th and Wadsworth, so watch for that. Also on Chambers, making your way onto a westbound I-70. They're doing some work on the road there, so that's going to be closed down till about 1:30. Got a medical emergency, Islip and Lipan. Watch for emergency vehicles on scene there. When the unexpected happens, OnStar gives you and your family the safety and security you deserve. Just push a button and OnStar advisors are ready to help. OnStar, always there, always ready. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC Traffic.
I'm Jennifer Naramore with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Fairly quiet and mild weather as we're going throughout the next couple of days. Wall-to-wall sunshine today, our high temperature climbing to 55 degrees. Mainly clear tonight, low 32. The winds pick up a little bit for tomorrow, partly cloudy skies with a high of 57. Staying cloudy on Sunday and a little cooler, upper 40s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Jennifer Naramore on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's sunny, 54 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1240. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Jim Conder here talking with Bev Rouleau from International Optique. Bev, fashion eyewear the best in the city and now a sale. Bev, what's up with that?
Jim, International Optique is having our annual sale now through January 15th, and it's a blowout.
I know the details. If you purchase prescription frames and lenses at International Optique at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University and Orchard, you receive a 25% discount.
It's a family affair at International Optique. Just bring your family and friends. Everyone receives 25% off their new frame and lenses.
And don't forget to use your Flex dollars while saving money. If you run out of time to use your Flex dollars, come in for a gift certificate to be used later.
Jim, the excitement about International Optique is that we carry frames with a little attitude or a lot of attitude. Either way, let our staff make sure you walk out looking beyond fabulous.
For the best in eyewear in Denver, join International Optique at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University in Orchard now through January 15th for their spectacular 25% off prescription frame and lens sale. It's not what you know, it's who you know, and we know International Optique.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street's main index is settling down from early volatility into a range of modest losses. Right now, the Dow is down 14 points. NASDAQ also down 14. S&P 500 is losing 4. Big board volume heavy on this so-called triple witching day. More than a billion shares have changed hands. Triple witching referring to the expiration of several big futures and options contracts. Activision is looking forward to making some big green from Shrek. The company landing the rights to licensed video games inspired by the movie Shrek 2 due out next year. Right now, Activision shares are down 79 cents. But even with today's pullback, Activision stock is up more than 20% in a little over a week, following the company's statement that holiday sales of its games are going well. Once again, the Dow is down 14 points to 10,234. The NASDAQ down 14. S&P 500 is losing 4 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
1243 on the fabulous Friday and holiday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. I am leaving. I'm going to be out all next week. I'll be in San Francisco. Filling in for me will be Jerome Davis, and thank you, Jerome, for doing it. You're going to have a wonderful time with him, and I will be back on the 29th in time for the lead, the run-up to the new year. So I'll be back with you. I hope you have a wonderful holiday season, whether it's Hanukkah, which I think starts tonight, or whether it's Christmas, which starts on, which is Christmas Eve is Wednesday, whatever you Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate. I just hope it's a wonderful. I think this is such a magical time of year, and I'm going to share some of my thoughts about it as we progress. But I'm looking at this U.S. News and World Report on how secretive the administration is, and it's a pretty grim picture. We're talking about a lot of things. We're talking about Howard Dean's statement when Osama bin Laden was brought in, and it made a lot of Democrats, which surprises me, extremely nervous. And it made them nervous because what he said is America is no safer because Saddam Hussein is in our, because we have captured Saddam Hussein. He's exactly right about that. So a lot of Democrats are now looking to support John Kerry, whose numbers are not even really on the charts. Dean is the runaway leader so far. I haven't seen that his numbers have dropped as a result of what he said about Osama bin Laden. But if the Democrats keep fighting amongst themselves, you can forget it. Bush will be reelected. 303-382-1150. Susan, calling from Allen's Park. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. Saw a couple things last week on C-SPAN that are pertinent. And part of what I think a lot of these other Democratic candidates are worried about is the fact that people are going to see that Dean is right. And an interesting footnote, we were watching C-SPAN.
Now, wait a minute. I don't get that exactly. What are Democrats upset about? What are they afraid of?
Dean told the truth, and they voted for the war, and now they're having to scrabble because they want to make him look bad so that their judgment doesn't come into question.
So that they can say that they were right about voting on behalf of the war, and that he's wrong, and he's an anti-war guy. He's going to be like McGovern. He's not going to have a chance. Never mind that he's raised more money than all of them, and he's way ahead in terms of approval ratings.
Now, two things. The Hudson Project had a panel this week, and Richard Pearl was on it. He's a Project for a New American Century guy, consultant to the administration. He says, "Oh well, Joe Lieberman is a neocon." So why wouldn't he attack Dean? His whole philosophy agrees with the current administration about going out and beating everybody up if they even look like they're going to come across the yard and punch us in the nose. And secondly, the Democratic Party, Terry McAuliffe wants to have us united by March. We have a candidate selected, everybody's in line, and we move forward from there. So I think the squabbling you see now is the last-ditch desperate attempt to gain foothold before New Hampshire and Iowa and the rest of
So this is the jockeying for position, and then once it happens in March, that's it.
Everybody at the Democratic fundraiser in Florida over the weekend, everybody's saying how we're going to get behind our candidate, we're going to be united. They've got a new state-of-the-art facility that they own outright, no debt, money lined up, TV, radio, everything, a whole floor.
What is it going to take? I've seen these terrific MoveOn.org ads on the...
Oh, those are fabulous.
They are fabulous, and we have something now that Joe is bringing in. It's on the website of MoveOn.org, and they've got a number of people like comedian Margaret Cho and Michael Moore and some big names, maybe even Al Franken, having a contest, and I think you can vote on it.
Yeah.
These are different commercials. Here are the contest judges, but Joe, come here a minute. Do we have a picture of what these commercials look like? They're video, but can you run them and so that I can see? Because I can't see them right now, but so I'm going to rely on you to do that. But anyway, there's a contest here as to which should be the next Bush commercial. And the people participating are people like Gene Ann Garofalo, Al Franken, Hector Elizondo, Margaret Cho, the comedian. And you can vote on this. And it's called BushIn30Seconds.org, www.BushIn30Seconds.org, and the 30 is the number, it's the 30.
One other thing, Enid, people are always saying this about Dean and that about Dean, but how many people have actually seen him speak or read his speeches without the filter of everybody else saying this or that? If people heard him speak, last night he spoke in New Hampshire, and it just blew me away, and I've been a Dean supporter for a year.
Well, I've heard that when you're there in the same room when he speaks, the hair on the back of your neck stands up. I don't know that that's true, but that's what I've seen reported. Now, you know who was like that? Maria Cuomo actually was like that. But I want to ask this question again. I want to know, it is going to take more than TV commercials to turn middle America's minds and hearts around. What will it take other than a worse quagmire in Iraq? What's it going to take to turn people around? Because the more the truth is exposed, the less effect it appears to have.
What it's going to take is people like me and you and everybody who's committed to waking up. 30% of...
Wait, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. We all have friends, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wouldn't begin to try
to proselytize my friends because it would probably cause a huge rift. They have already come to their own conclusions, and I think I would strike out with my friends. If my friends were on a different page than I, and I'm not sure where some of them are.
You start out by saying, what's your most important issue? And if it's the economy, if it's the debt, if it's foreign policy, then you say, how do you think Bush is doing? And then when they come up with a lame answer, you gently bring them around to the concept. You don't even have to make...
It's not about a lame answer. I am almost despairing. I'm despairing of the fact that logic even means anything. People fall in love with whoever they fall in love with, and they don't care what the facts are. It's like getting married to somebody. You know, the quickest way to make yourself an enemy of a former friend is to say, don't marry so-and-so. It's going to be a disaster. You may very well be right, but they don't want to hear it.
No, you take Hopeful Howard and you tell him, this is the direction we want to go in. What's wrong with that? Is this where Bush is going to take us?
Susan,
I don't know.
I thank you for the call. Okay. And keep slugging away. 303-382-1150, Kevin on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. Oh, I have four very good points I'd like to make regarding exactly what you're talking about.
Yes.
Well, number one, Howard Dean is absolutely right. We are not safer. In fact, I'll just listen to the radio today, and they're doing a financial report, and they're talking about the stock market being leery, that there's a possibility they might raise the threat level to orange. Now, if they do that, well, that, of course, vindicates Dean instantly. Number two...
That's a good point. Are they going to do that? Well, they're saying there's some chatter, and it's supposed to target New York, Los Angeles, and what's the third city?
Well, if they do, I mean, how can you argue the point if they do? I don't understand how anyone could argue the point if they raise the threat level that
right.
we are actually...
Right, we're not safer. That's a good point. So now they can't raise the threat level.
Right. Number two, I see, and I don't know if anyone else sees this, but I see Wesley Clark positioning himself for what we talked about a long time ago. He wants to be the vice president because he knows he doesn't have a chance at the nomination. And if you watch his speeches, he's sticking with the anti-war stance, and he's not criticizing Dean. At least I've not seen it. Maybe he is, but I haven't heard.
I think he's a little bit out of the loop. I don't see him. I see him as being really cute and talented, and he made a big splash in the beginning, but he's sort of a little bit out of it.
Well,
so I'm with you. I see him more as a vice presidential candidate.
I think he sees himself as that as well. My third point. People are always saying, and I have four points, so let me get through all of them, that people are always saying that they don't see how Dean could win. I can assure you, Enid, and I think you know this, every single person who voted for Al Gore is likely to vote for Howard Dean.
Or whoever the Democratic candidate is.
And that's the other thing, and that's the same thing Greg said. I'll vote for anyone but Bush. So with all these people, all these Democrats so committed to getting Bush out of office, we have a better chance than we did when Gore ran. And, of course, we know Gore won the popular election. So all we have to do now is focus on winning the right states.
All right. So how
my
we
fourth,
how? Yes, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
My fourth point, you're going to love this one.
Uh-huh.
You say that you aren't willing to try to proselytize your friends to convert them.
Well, I do, but I think it's a dangerous proposition.
We needed you to. Democracy requires it of you. It's your duty. Don't back down on this one.
Well, you know, I try, but if I see it's going to alienate them and they've already made up their minds, and some of my friends are pretty strong characters.
But that's the chance you take. Well, you know.
One of my good friends, when it came to the war against Iraq, the run-up to the war, she found going to the dentist better than talking to... She says the first time she was looking forward to go to the dentist because I was hitting her hard about don't be in favor of the war. She said, I can't talk to you now. I have to go to the dentist. She said it was the first time she actually enjoyed going to the dentist.
Well, I used to have a friend, and let me emphasize, used to have a friend, and we talked about this before the war, and I was trying to persuade them about how wrong it was. And they said something to the effect of, oh, you know, they don't even have God over there. Like I said, I used to have a friend. So this is what's required of us, you know, a commitment to our ideals and to do
well. Well, all right, and hoping that the dots will connect. I thank you, Kevin, for these four excellent points. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now I think you're ready for this.
AM 1150 KNRC.
Yeah.
LendingTree.com presents How to Get Your Debt Under Control. Step 1. Confront it.
Hello, debt.
Step 2. Get a debt consolidation loan from LendingTree.com, where banks compete and you choose the loan that's right for you. To get your debt under control, call 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win at LendingTree.com.
Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply. See website for details.
The
KNRC Community Commitment.
It's always better to give than to receive, especially during the holidays. Give what you can, but make sure you know who is on the receiving end. www.charitynavigator.org provides free online ratings of more than 2,500 of America's best-known charities. Charity Navigator objectively examines each organization's ability to raise funds, manage costs, and deliver on its intended programs. So before you write a check, visit charitynavigator.org and find a charity you can trust. Don't fight traffic this holiday season. Take the number one way to get through the holiday rush. The Northwest Parkway is now open. Visit nwpky.org and learn how you can ride free this season.
Tickets are on sale now for the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series, featuring the dynamic lineup of Her Majesty Queen Noor on January 20th, retired General Tommy Franks on March 30th, and Steve Forbes on May 17th. Tickets start at only $50 for the three-lecture package and are on sale now. Go to www.denverlectureseries.com and expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series, a program of junior achievement and sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Greg Dobbs. Join me every weekday morning from 6 to 10 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now, back to Enid Goldstein.
12:55 on the fabulous Friday holiday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, noon to 3 on KNRC. Now, if I were to ask you, if we were to have a pop quiz, what are you listening to right now? Where is it on the dial? Would you know? Would you know that it's 11:50? You might be asked that question, and you have to know that answer. So the reason it is our fabulous Friday holiday edition is that I'm going to be gone all of next week. And so this is it for me. I'm wishing all of you a happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, Merry Christmas. And I will be back for the new year, so I'll be back on the 29th, Monday the 29th, a week from this coming Monday. I'll be in San Francisco, so I will share my adventures, in case I have any, with you when I return. Jerome Davis will be filling in, so you're in good hands. And what we're talking about is a lot of Democrats doing a pretty fast shuffle because Howard Dean is considered, what, a little bit too anti-war? The Republicans are trying to paint him as somebody who's too McGovern, who is somebody who can't really win, and a lot of Democrats are doing the same thing. And my question is, MoveOn.org has got a contest going with different ads that you can vote on, and these ads are by people like Margaret Cho, the comedian, and Al Franken, and Jean Ann Garofalo, and people like that, and so you can decide what their next ad. Those are the judges, but different people are what? Creating different ads at different ad agency? Who's submitting their own 30-second television ads? Just various people? All right, a lot of people around the country are submitting 30 seconds, and so Al Franken and Margaret Cho and those folks are the judges. I thought they were creating the ads. So I guess you get to vote on this, and you get to do it by accessing the website, and the website is www.bushin30seconds, that's one word, bushin30seconds.org. And you can look, download those commercials and vote on the one that you think is the most successful or the best of those commercials. The winner gets the commercial played on television. So here we are. We are looking at a universe in which there isn't any money for Homeland Security in Colorado, which is a huge issue. So when Howard Dean said, is United States any safer, when he said we're not, just because we brought in Saddam Hussein, why did anybody get bent out of shape? And here's something else. This was in today's New York Times. A classified Bush administration report has found that the largest counterterrorism exercise conducted by the federal government since 9/11 attacks was marred by communications problem, serious shortages of medical supplies and hospital rooms, and confusion over where the residue of a radiological attack would spread, administration officials said. So they finally admitted to this. 303-382-1150, Tom Gonesell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Enid, how are you doing today?
Doing well, Tom.
I was actually an entrant in that Bush in 30 seconds thing, and what you had was people all over the country, you know, professionals, amateurs, you know, established filmmakers, aspiring filmmakers, who, when MoveOn put out the call back in November, The idea was to put together a 30-second spot that best highlighted the failures of the administration. And basically, you had a blank slate. You could do whatever you wanted to do. So we put together a piece that's called White House Pizza Preferences. It's kind of a humorous...
Tell me quick, because we only have a couple seconds left in this hour.
All right, anyway, as you said, the voting process is www.bushin30seconds.org. However, the actual process of voting is very, very cumbersome. I don't think MoveOn anticipated the response they got, and it's really difficult to get through this.
But
if any of your listeners have the time and patience, I'd appreciate some support. And again, the name of our local submission is White House Pizza Preferences.
White House Pizza Preferences. Okay, Tom, thanks so much for calling. 303-382-1150. Don't go anywhere. Two more hours of Enid coming right up on AM 1150 KNRC.
KNRC 1150. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon, sunny, 54 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by RAD. L.A. Lakers star Kobe Bryant's initial pretrial hearing is underway in Eagle. Bruce Morton has more.
Experts from both sides will get an audience with the judge to discuss the parameters of tests regarding physical evidence. This in response to a prosecution motion that was supported by the defense. Another motion heard by Judge Terry Ruckriegel came from the defense asking that he force the prosecution to name names as to who in the sheriff's and DA's office received what defense attorney Pamela Mackey called inflammatory T-shirts depicting a stick figure hangman bearing Bryant's name. Bruce Morton, Eagle, Colorado.
The numbers are in, and things could be better. The latest figures from the Colorado Department of Labor and Employment show a slight increase in Colorado joblessness last month. November's figure was 5.6% unemployment. October saw 5.4%. But the department's executive director, Jeff Will, says the jobless rate can fluctuate month to month and not signal a trend toward weaker economic conditions. Except for an increase of 2,300 government jobs, all other major industry sectors recorded losses in November, with construction hit hardest. Last November, Colorado unemployment stood at 5.8%. Yesterday, Colorado Governor Bill Owen said that the Department of Homeland Security is giving the state more money to help local and state authorities improve their readiness for emergencies. The grants, totaling close to $3 million, are going to be divided by the Office of Emergency Management. State received $2.75 million last year. The Air Force Academy says that half of its senior cadets plan to enroll in training to become pilots after they graduate. Officials say the Air Force tries to give cadets their first career choice, but it depends on the needs of the Air Force, the cadets' qualifications, and other factors. The rest of the senior cadets are heading for a variety of fields in the service. The Colorado State Patrol's campaign to increase safety in cone zones has resulted in about 2,400 people getting tickets. The campaign went from July through September. The reasoning behind the effort was the number of injuries and deaths caused by motorists in road construction areas. Last year, more than 1,700 accidents were reported, resulting in 19 deaths and 958 injuries. With an eye on the holidays, unspecified threats are keeping U.S. Homeland Security officials on edge. White House spokesman Scott McClellan says officials are concerned about the volume of reporting of threats.
And that is why the Department of Homeland Security has sent out several bulletins over the past few weeks to Homeland Security officials and law enforcement personnel, urging all to continue to be on a heightened state of alert, especially as we enter the busy holiday season.
Shopping malls expected to be packed this weekend, the weekend before Christmas. The U.S. military says it has seized a ship ferrying illegal drugs in the Persian Gulf and that many of those on board have ties to Al-Qaeda. Laura Iyama reports.
The U.S. military states on Monday a U.S. destroyer, as part of stepped-up patrols in the Persian Gulf, intercepted a wooden dhow near the Strait of Hormuz, a narrow part of the Gulf between Iran and Oman. The military maintains this is a route known to be used by Al-Qaeda to smuggle material, and that's what the U.S. says was found on board the dhow. The U.S. seized 2 tons of hashish worth up to $10 million and a dozen people, 4 of whom the U.S. says have ties to Al-Qaeda. Lori Yama, Washington.
Family members of several victims of the Washington, D.C. area sniper shooting spree are taking the stand today in the sentencing phase of sniper Lee Malvo's capital murder trial. The teenager was convicted yesterday in Chesapeake, Virginia, of killing FBI analyst Linda Franklin. Prosecutors say Malvo and John Allen Muhammad killed 10 people during their nearly month-long sniper rampage late last year. One of the nation's most respected hospitals is acknowledging responsibility for the death of a two-year-old girl. Jessica Collins, a spokeswoman from Johns Hopkins Medicine in Baltimore, says the young cancer patient was mistakenly given the wrong mix of medication. Stocks on Wall Street, three major indices all still lower at this hour. The Dow is down just over 3 points, the NASDAQ down almost 12, and the S&P 500 is down about 3.5 points. In sports, the Denver Nuggets and Colorado Avalanche both on the left coast tonight, with the Nuggets playing the L.A. Lakers. The Avs skate against the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. The 9-5 Denver Broncos head into Indianapolis this Sunday to take on the 11-3 Colts in a Sunday night game. Denver tight end Shannon Sharp says they need a big night from the offense if they want a chance of beating the Colts.
We know we have to put points on the board because they're probably the number two scoring team in the entire league. We know what they represent. Their big guns are healthy. Marvin's healthy. Edgar's healthy. Peyton's healthy. And the thing what they have this year, what they didn't have in years past, is that they have two other guys that can catch the football other than Marvin Harrison.
RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk drivers, says don't take your lifestyle on the road. Designate before you celebrate. Learn more at RADD.org. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
This holiday season, why not invest in a gift for yourself and your family? Something that will give you safety, comfort, and beauty, all while bringing you savings. I'm talking about doors. The entrance to your house provides security to your family while being the first impression of your home. Don't compromise these while contributing to high utility costs with old doors that let cold air in and warm air out. Call Colorado Door Connection at 303-425-3366 for a free estimate today. And as a gift to you this holiday season, you'll receive a free storm door up to a $200 value when you purchase any entry system with installation valued at $1,200 or more. Colorado Door Connection. Visit their showroom at 9710 West 50th Avenue, just off I-70 at Kipling. Or call 303-425-3366 today. Here's wishing you and yours a very happy, safe, and warm holiday season.
KNRC News Time is 106. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by Office Depot, and really just a pretty nice drive out there right now. We do have some work on the ramp from Chambers to I-70. Watch for that. They're going to be closing that ramp till about 1:30, 1:45 in there. Watch for that. Everything else, those speeds on the high side. From now until December 20th, buy a photo printer for $150 or more and get a $50 gift card and free Office Depot photo paper. In-store only. See store for details. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC Traffic.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. More sparkling sunshine than anything else, and milder than normal temperatures will continue. Pretty nice run here. 56 or so for our high today, with mainly clear skies tonight. We'll drop back into the low 20s. It'll be partly cloudy, upper 50s tomorrow, upper 40s by Sunday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's sunny, 54 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. It's also the holiday edition of Enid Live because I'm going to be gone all next week. I'll be in San Francisco, but I will be back on the 29th. You'll be in good hands with Jerome Davis. And I'm getting wonderful stuff from EvolveFish.com, my thought about anybody but Bush. They made a button out of it, and you can get hilarious stuff from them. So check it out on the web, EvolveFish.com. They've got an Osama bin Laden sticker. Here's another sticker with a picture of Bill Clinton on it. It says, "Come back, Bill. All is forgiven." It's really funny. EvolveFish.com. All right, I'm looking over this U.S. News and World Report, and I can't believe what I'm reading. This is amazing. This is an investigation that U.S. News and World Report has been conducting for about 5 months, and here are some of the highlights. You have to hear this, even though it's a fabulous Friday. You have to hear this. and get yourself the current copy of U.S. News and World Report. For the past 3 years, the Bush administration has quietly but efficiently dropped a shroud of secrecy across many critical operations of the federal government, cloaking its own affairs from scrutiny and removing from the public domain important information on health, safety, and environmental matters. The result has been a reversal of a decades-long trend of openness in government while making increasing amounts of information unavailable to the taxpayers who pay for its collection and analysis. Bush administration officials often cite 9/11 as the reason for the enhanced secrecy. But as the Inauguration Day directive from Andrew Card indicates, the initiative to wall off records and information previously in the public domain began from day one of this administration. Stephen Garfinkel, retired government lawyer and expert on classified information, puts it this way. I think they have an over-reliance on the utility of secrecy. They don't seem to realize secrecy is a two-edged sword that cuts you as well as protects you. Even supporters of the administration, many of whom agree that security is needed to be bolstered after the attacks, say Bush and his inner circle have been unusually assertive in their commitment to increase government secrecy. Tightly controlling information from the White House on down has been the hallmark of this administration. So now let's hear what some of these secrets are. Some of the Bush administration initiatives have been well chronicled. Its secret deportation of immigrants suspected as terrorists, its refusal to name detainees at Guantanamo Bay, and the new surveillance powers granted under the Patriot Act have all been debated at length. But the clandestine workings of an energy task force headed by Vice President Cheney has also been the subject of litigation now before the Supreme Court. But the administration's efforts to shield the actions of and the information obtained by the executive branch are far more extensive than has been previously documented. A five-month investigation by U.S. News detailed a series of initiatives by administration officials to effectively place large amounts of information out of the reach of ordinary citizens. The magazine's inquiry is based on a detailed review of government reports, regulations, federal agency websites, and legislation. The principal findings, listen to this. This is amazing. Important business and consumer information is increasingly being withheld from the public. The Bush administration is denying access to auto and tire safety information, for instance, that manufacturers are required to provide under a new early warning system created following the Ford Firestone tire scandal 4 years ago. The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission, meanwhile, is more frequently withholding information that would allow the public to scrutinize its product safety findings and product recall actions. New administration initiatives have effectively placed off limits critical health and safety information, potentially affecting millions of Americans. The information includes data on quality and vulnerability of drinking water supplies, potential chemical hazards in communities, and safety of airline travels and other forms of transportation. In Aberdeen, Maryland, families who live near an Army weapons base are suing the Army for details of toxic pollution fouling the town's drinking water supplies. Citing security, the Army has refused to provide information that could help residents locate and track the pollution. Beyond the well-publicized cases involving terrorism suspects, the administration is also aggressively pursuing secrecy claims in the federal courts in ways little understood even by some in the legal system. The administration is increasingly invoking a state secrets privilege that allows government lawyers to request that civil and criminal cases be effectively closed by asserting that national security would be compromised if they proceed. It is impossible to say how often government lawyers have invoked the privilege, but a professor at the University of Texas, El Paso, who recently completed a study of the historical use of the privilege, says the Bush administration is asserting it with offhanded abandon. In one case, the government invoked the privilege 245 times. In another, involving allegations of racial discrimination, the CIA demanded and won return of information it had provided to a former employee's attorneys, only to later disclose the very information that it claimed would jeopardize national security. Are you listening to this? These are the ways in which the administration has invoked secrecy from day one. You are paying for the collection of this data and its dissemination, and they are trying to keep it secret from you. They've also cleansed their websites of any indication that they were wrong when they said they were weapons of mass destruction. All of that magically disappeared from websites. New administration policies have also thwarted the ability of Congress to exercise its constitutional authority to monitor the executive branch, and in some cases even to obtain basic information about its actions. One Republican lawmaker, Representative Dan Burton of Indiana, became so frustrated with the White House's refusal to cooperate in an investigation that he exclaimed during a hearing, "This is not a monarchy." Some see a fundamental transformation in the last 3 years. "What has stunned us so much," said an executive director of the Office of Management and Budget, OMB Watch, a public interest group in Washington that monitors government activities, quote, "is how rapidly we've moved from a principle of right to know to one edging up to need to know." Here we are. This is a democracy. Part of the fundamental of a democracy is transparency. You get to know what's going on. It's not like Russia. It's not like the old communist countries where everything was highly secret. In this regime, it's all highly secret. The advantages go to the inner circle. You don't know what's going on. I mean, this is just amazing to me that we are tolerating this. 303-382-1150. We are letting this occur. People get detained with no, they're not charged. The courts now have undermined the administration in two ways. They're saying you got to do something about those Guantanamo detainees. You either investigate them, you charge them, or you let them go. And Jose Padilla, you either charge them or you let them go. You don't keep these people indefinitely, citing security as reasons. So here's an administration that has been dishonest in every single way, that doesn't want you to have consumer information about the safety of tires, the safety of your water, the safety of your air, who's on the task force that determines energy policy that was convened by Dick Cheney. It does not want you to know any of this stuff. And it cites security reasons, and later, in the case of the CIA, the very thing that it said was too potent to ever be revealed, they use it on their own behalf in a subsequent trial. And 9/11, they're stonewalling the investigation. They don't want you to know what they didn't do right. Bait and switch. In addition, under three or other little-nosed executive orders, Bush increased the number of officials who can classify records to include the Secretary of Agriculture, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, and the Administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency. Now all three can label information at the secret level, rendering it unavailable for public review. So more and more people are able to classify information as secret. So more and more you are not able to see things. And more, one of the other fundamentals of our democracy is you're not supposed to mix church and state. There should be a wall. So here is an administration that wants to turn this country into a theocracy, faith-based initiatives. You know, the biggest faith-based initiatives is to trust these scoundrels who are running the regime in Washington. They want to mix church and state together. They want to keep the workings of the government and what they do secret. When we find out what they have done, or more precisely what they have not done correctly, we find out that they are an extremely incompetent and extremely punitive bunch of people. They are undermining our fundamental civil liberties. There is any number of reasons to vote these people out of office. So to lay back and think that they're doing the right thing, you are kidding yourself. Anybody is better than George Bush. 303-382-1150, and I think his first name should be changed from George to Dick, because that is an apter description of what we have here. I'm calling him Dick Bush from now on. 303-382-1150. So you have more secrecy. The administration's commitment to increased secrecy measures extends to the area of critical infrastructure information. In layman's terms, this refers to transportation, communications, energy, and other systems that make modern society run. The Homeland Security Act allows companies to make voluntary submissions of information about critical infrastructure to the Department of Homeland Security. The idea is to encourage firms to share information crucial to running and protecting those faculties. But under the terms of the law, those facilities. But under the terms of the law, when a company does this, the information is exempted from public disclosure and cannot be used without the submitting party's permission in any civil proceeding. I mean, this is amazing. Under the administration's plan to implement the Homeland Security Act, some businesses may even get more protection. When the Congress passed a law, it said the anti-disclosure provision would apply only to information submitted to the Department of Homeland Security. The department really recently proposed extending the provision to cover information submitted to any federal agency. If the administration secrecy policies have helped businesses, they have done little for individuals worried about health and safety issues. The residents of a small town in Aberdeen, Maryland can attest to that. On a chilly fall evening, some 100 people gathered at the firehouse to hear the latest about a toxic substance called perchlorate, an ingredient in rocket fuel. Perchlorate has entered the aquifer that feeds the town's drinking water wells. The culprit is the U.S. Army's Aberdeen Proving Ground, where since World War I, all manner of weapons have been tested. After word of the perchlorate contamination broke, a coalition of citizens began working with the Army to try to attack the unseen plume of pollution moving through the ground. But earlier this year, the Army delivered Aberdeen residents a sharp blow. It began censoring maps to eliminate features like street names, building locations, information critical to understanding and tracking where contamination might have occurred or where environmental testing was being done. The reason, the information the Army says, could provide clues helpful to terrorists. The head of the citizens group doesn't buy it. It's an abuse of power, says the 20-year Army veteran whose well lies just a mile and a half from the base. Isn't this amazing? An administration keeping secrets that you are paying for the data to be collected about. An administration trying to mix up church and state. An administration that doesn't want to share with you the truth of anything, that has lied to you to get you to support this bogus war in Iraq that has made us so safe that we're now going to think about a higher alert level because of increased intelligence chatter, because we have brought in Saddam Hussein and everybody's pissed off at Howard Dean for saying the obvious that the emperor is completely naked and bogus. 303-382-1150. I don't know why Americans don't get it in their heads that this is an administration making its bones on the backs of ordinary workers to enrich the richest among us and to line the pockets of companies like Halliburton, Bechtel, supposed to clean up these schools in Afghanistan. On its corporate website, under a page called A Fresh Start for Iraqi School Children, the Bechtel Group showcases sparkling new classrooms filled with happy young Iraqi pupils. But the reality is far different, according to Army investigators. In almost every case, the paint jobs were done in a hurry, causing more damage to the appearance of the school than providing a finish that will protect the structure. In one case, the paint job actually damaged critical lab equipment, making it unusable. They get an F for what they have done because they have ruined some of these schools. They have made a botch of it, and they have made a lot of money. 303-382-1150. Halliburton is running big ads in the newspaper saying the truth about our work in Iraq. So it's a public relations bid to get our sympathies. Halliburton, how can you justify keeping these thugs who are at every level undermining what this country stands for in office? Whatever you want to say about Bill Clinton, it was a sex problem. That was it. But he wasn't trying to undermine the country, the democracies, the freedoms, the civil liberties, the very fundamentals of this country. Not like this regime is doing. They're doing it behind closed doors. They're doing it in secrecy like a communist dictatorship and a regime. They're doing it in a punitive kind of way. They're trying to use the Patriot Act to tamp down the freedoms that we have long enjoyed. And we are letting it happen. Because why? Well, we're busy watching Michael Jackson. We're busy watching Boyd Malvo. We're busy watching the Lacey Peterson story. We're busy watching the soap operas on television. We're bated breath on Kobe Bryant, 303-382-1150. I mean, and we're busy dissing Howard Dean for telling the truth. I mean, at Goldstein, you're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
From baby steps to giant strides, we'll keep you informed every step of the way. AM 1150, KNRC.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you.
Miss Marin Alsop lead the Colorado Symphony Orchestra and Chorus and world-class soloists and Handel's classic Messiah this weekend, December 20th and 21st at Betcher Concert Hall. Tickets available at King Super's Tickets West outlets and online at coloradosymphony.org.
And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100.
Computers talk in a strange language to us.
Then again, so do computer techies. It's hard to find someone who will understand your computer needs. That's why when you're looking for solutions to your computer problems, you're looking for DataTarget.com. At DataTarget.com, you'll find people who target your computer needs in plain English. They'll cater to your problems relating to Microsoft Windows, installation upgrades, email, networking, internet, security, whether it's a business need or personal. You'll find DataTarget.com makes the problem easy to solve. DataTarget.com will be there at your business or home to help rid the frustration of trying to resolve it by yourself or spending hours on the phone with a tech guy who can't even talk. DataTarget.com is affordable, and best of all, your first consultation is absolutely free. DataTarget.com. Call 877-856-1206. That's 877-856-1206. Or log on to www.datatarget.com.
Join AM 1150 KNRC in sharing the spirit of the holidays by donating a gift to a child suffering a serious illness. The Starlight Children's Foundation is dedicated to improving the lives of seriously ill children by providing games, toys, and bedside computers. This entertainment therapy reduces the need for pain medication and alleviates the stress and boredom that are a part of long-term hospital stays. You can help by going to your local Starbucks, any Starbucks in the area, picking up a Holiday Angels ornament with gift suggestions, and returning a new unwrapped gift. Don't do plush toys because there's a lot of bacteria and that won't work for kids. And a lot of the kids who are seriously ill, these are kids who are teenagers, really. So think about that. What would be appropriate for a teenager? Help by going to your local Starbucks. They'll have gift suggestions for you there. And return a new unwrapped gift to any Starbucks location by December 25th. Help a child this holiday season.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
125 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock, and it is the holiday edition of Enid Live because I'm going to be gone all next week. So we have some holiday stuff that we've got planned for you. We're talking about the immense amount of secrecy that happened from day one, and 9/11 was used as a you know, even consumer information secrecy about tires, about air, about water, stuff that you have every right to know about. They don't want you to know about it. What does this sound like to you? This sounds like a repressive communistic regime is what it sounds like to me. 303-382-1150. And if they're talking about raising the terror alert level, then Howard Dean was clearly right. Capturing Saddam Hussein did not make the country safe, safer. 303-382-1150. Let's head over to Steve on a cell. Steve, you're live with Enid.
How are you doing today, Enid?
I'm doing well, Steve.
I think the biggest problem that you're going to face through the next year is the fact that, you know, I think the biggest thing is when you guys continue to say Bush lied. We all have access to the UNSCOM reports from 98. We all have access to...
David Kaye is going to resign. You know about that?
Okay. Does that mean the UNSCOM reports of 98 are wrong?
He's saying there's really there are no WNDs. He's not going to find it. He's apparently thinking about or is going to resign. But tell me what your point is. Forget about 1998. I'm talking about right now, and I'm talking about this extraordinary level of secrecy. You as a conservative should be concerned about that.
Let me tell you exactly what I think about it. I can go online right now, and I can see the National Intelligence Estimate from 2002, October. I can see exactly what our intelligence services said. I can then go and look and see what George Bush said, and I find that what they said is exactly what he said.
No, I'm talking about all this data that U.S. News and World Report is citing. This is data in which you can't find out about air safety, water safety. You can't find out about tire safety because they've made that not possible for you to access that information. They've placed off limits critical health and safety information.
Are you not,
if all of this is true, and there's no reason to doubt that it is, because a U.S. News and World Report, they've conducted a five-month investigation. So let's assume that everything they've said here is true. Are you not bothered by this?
I haven't seen the report, so I have no idea.
What I have told you, assuming that everything I've told you is true, are you not bothered by this?
Enid, let me be
honest. Oh, come on. Let's have an honest... Steve, if you can't answer that question, then you're not having an honest conversation. Don't wiggle out of it.
I'm about to be honest. I do not consider you a good source, and until I read it myself...
Oh, well, if you don't consider me a good source, then why are you calling me every day? 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150, Manuel, in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I was calling to let you know that I'm really happy to see that there's a logical voice on the radio and not a right-wing zealot that most talk show hosts are.
Where did you, how did you find our radio station?
I was basically hoping that I would find somebody other than that big mouth drug addict and you know, all of the, you know, the Catholics who basically are on the air. I can't, what's his name? Hannity?
Right.
Who basically is a liar. And I wanted to hear from somebody who really was telling the truth. And I just wanted to let you know, my son just got back from Afghanistan. And I was in support of what we had to do in Afghanistan. But this idiocy with Iraq just gets deeper and deeper, and I just...
What does your son say? What does your son say about how the military view Iraq, people who are stuck there, or is there a lot of anger, opposition, low morale? What's the story? What does he have to say about it?
I can't really say that because, you know, I can't discuss that, but what I can tell you is he's gone to Iraq in January, and we are just really upset. We, are, of course, were upset when he was going to go to Afghanistan because of his safety, but I wasn't upset at our country for doing it. Here I see no purpose whatsoever to have our children, they're like sitting ducks, and the lies that come out of this administration are horrendous.
They are horrendous, and not only the lies, but the major, but what isn't a lie is a secret. And they are using the cover of 9/11 to keep things that are, that we have, that we pay for, the collection of data that we pay for and that we have every right to see, keep in secret from us. I am just, I think it's reprehensible. And I'm going to tell you what Carol Moseley Braun said. She said, Bin Laden, she said, been forgotten. You know, we were focused on Afghanistan for 5 seconds because apparently we're a country with ADD. Now we shifted our focus onto Iraq, not very well, not that we had any kind of a thought out occupation strategy in place. And the eyeballs that were supposed to be looking out for Bin Laden, been forgotten. That's it. He's, you know, nobody's looking out for him right now.
And I totally agree with you. And if you really look at the situation, I am just totally amazed that there are working class people who support this guy in the presidency.
It has to mean that Republicans and conservatives are simply not as bright as liberals and progressives and Democrats. Manuel, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. You may disagree. Chester, calling from Centennial. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Okay, I wasn't going to bring it up, but you mentioned it, Bill Clinton. You said all he did was sex.
Chester, do me a favor. We are in the year 2003. Bill Clinton hasn't been a president for a long time. Let's talk about here and now. How do you feel about...
Enid.
I didn't bring it up.
Yes, you did.
No. Chester, let's talk about, let's see if you can stay on topic. Let me just see if you can. We're talking about the secrets in this administration, and let me ask you, don't they bother you that information that you have paid for on air, water safety, tire safety, health information, don't you think you have a right to it?
Yeah, but it doesn't surprise me they're doing it this way.
Are you not a Bush supporter?
I am, but it doesn't surprise me when you
Why does it not surprise you?
When you give bureaucrats the power to put anything secret they want to, I think what they need to have is some kind of an appeals process because some of these people are clearly going overboard in the interest of national security.
Does this bother you insofar as the direction in which the country is going? You see the Patriot Act, so under cover of 9/11, civil liberties are being tamped down. You're seeing overly secretive, as you put it, bureaucracies when they can do it so that we don't know even the inner workings of the government, for example, faith and faith-based initiatives, church and state, mixing it up together. Aren't you concerned about this?
I think when you talk about 9/11 and the context of that, it's natural that extremes like that would take place in terms of security. If they did the same thing in every war, World War One, World War Two, there's always extremes that take place when a country's under threat of attack.
All right, so are you going to vote? Bottom line, Chester, are you going to vote again for Bush? I bet you are.
I can't vote for the guy, Howard Dean. My God, he's nuts. You know, he's talking about black helicopter stuff, about Bush knew they were going to bomb the towers and stuff.
Well, wait. Now, you know that the 9/11, the head of 9/11 Commission is a Republican, former governor, Thomas Keene of New Jersey. He issued a report yesterday or the day before saying, and it's a blockbuster, saying that 9/11 could have and should have been prevented. And Condoleezza, the White House did admit that Bush did receive reports in advance. So what's Black Helicopter about that?
I'll tell you what's strange about it. If, let's say Bush had somebody, he told him that somebody's going to hijack a plane someplace in the country and ram it into a building someplace in the country. And Bush had suddenly cracked down to the extent you'd have had to prevent that from happening. People would have been screaming, my God, the man's gone insane. He's trying to militarize the country. They'd have gone off the deep end. And if he had prevented it and these guys had gone away and we never knew about it, they'd still be blasting how Bush had overreacted to a situation and had gone crazy with no real...
I think that there are things that the administration could have done. They could have taken it more seriously. And apparently these threats were known to intelligence officials even 10 years before. Well, I think in 1991 in the regime of Poppy. What?
I have it on good authority. We've already found bin Laden. We're just waiting until the election so we can go ahead and parade him in front of the cameras just to go ahead and steal the election from Howard Dean. Now, some of your audience out there thinks that's a pretty plausible plan and that we have done that.
Well, there's a Middle Eastern website, and it's based in Israel, Debka, and they believe that that the evidence points to the fact that Saddam Hussein had been captured by some of his own people looking to get that $25 million bounty, and that the reason he put up so little resistance and looked so disoriented is that he was happy to see the Americans. And if you notice, the government put out an announcement just the day after he was captured that there would be no bounty paid, that a tip came through some sort of sources that they were vague about, and there would be no bounty paid, but I think that's probably how they found him.
You know what the most entertaining thing about this season is all the wild, harebrained, paranoid ideas the Democrats are coming up with. It's really entertaining to listen to it. It's they're off the deep end. I think it scares a lot of people.
It's not nearly as wild and harebrained as what the Republicans are trying to perpetrate on the rest of us, and I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, Holiday Edition, on AM 1150 KNRC. One:35, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Sunny, 54 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Melody Holmes. The credibility of the accuser is the focus of the pretrial hearing today in the Kobe Bryant sexual assault case going on in Eagle. Bryant's attorneys have said the 19-year-old woman tried to commit suicide twice this year in an effort to gain the attention of an ex-boyfriend. They also want a jury to hear about her use of medication to treat schizophrenia, saying she may be delusional. The Colorado Department of Labor and Employment says that joblessness increased in Colorado last month. November's numbers show 5.6% unemployment compared to 5.4% in October. Computers from the Colorado State Lottery have been seized by the Colorado Bureau of Investigation. The CBI says they're checking into several issues involving the lottery. The Department of Revenue already has an internal investigation looking into possible misuse of funds and travel expenses by employees. In sports, Colorado Avalanche and Denver Nuggets both spending the evening in California. Avs play the Mighty Ducks in Anaheim, while the Nuggets play the Lakers in L.A. Melody Homes' total sales event is this weekend from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Visit any Melody Homes community and receive an amazing deal on a brand new home. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 1:37.
Velcaro Paint and Decorating hopes you'll forgive us for bragging a little. We've won an award. And because the environment is really important to us, we're pretty proud of it. Velcaro was recently named a recipient of the Environmental Achievement Award by the state of Colorado. What's our achievement? It's the Wet Paint Color Swatch program, which Velcaro pioneered nationally. As you know, choosing the right paint color is usually by trial and error. In the past, consumers had to buy an entire quart to get a sample. Wrong colors often get tossed out and eventually make their way into the environment. But Velcaro offers 1.5-ounce paint swatches, enough to cover 4 square feet, and more than enough to make the right decision. They're inexpensive and come in more than 6,000 colors, including our entire Benjamin Moore line. Wet paint color swatches. Good for you, good for the environment. From Belcarl Paint and Decorating, a Benjamin Moore quality paint dealer. 5475 Leedsdale Drive, just one block west of Holly. Online at belcarl.com.
KNRC News Time is 1:38. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Nestle Toll House. Washington on the ramp to I-70. Watch for an accident there. Also, we're just trying to get the construction out of the way. Chambers on the ramp to I-70, so watch for that. Everything else, though, looking pretty good. Start your own tradition this year and bring your family together to bake your very best cookie recipe with America's favorite chocolate chip, Nestle Toll House Morsels. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC Traffic.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We couldn't have ordered a prettier day, and the streak will continue into the start of the weekend with temperatures again milder than normal. Certainly not too many clouds up there today. A high right around 56, mainly clear 23 tonight. 59 with sunshine tomorrow, cloudier on Sunday with a high of 47. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on 1150 KNRC.
It's sunny, 55 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1:39. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
This is Wally Prue of the Prue Law Firm. If you've been injured, you should speak with a lawyer about your rights and find out whether you have a claim against the person who caused your injury. Not every accident is someone's fault, but many accidents are caused by negligence. Your claim is worth looking into. Let the Prue Law Firm help you deal with insurance companies about your medical bills, lost income, and getting a reasonable settlement for your injury. If necessary, we'll go to court with you. The Prue Law Firm handles many kinds of accidents, like car accidents, wrongful death, slips and falls, dangerous products, medical malpractice, and other types of civil litigation. An initial consultation with the Prue Law Firm is absolutely free. I'm Wally Prue, and I will speak with you personally and honestly about your case. If you're looking for a lawyer who will personally work on your case and not see you just as a potential fee, please call me, Wally Prue, at the Prue Law Firm, LLC, 303-893-8331. Again, that's the Prue Law Firm, 303-893-8331.
KNRC Market Watch.
Markets mixed inside the final hour of trading this Friday. Dow Industrials back on top, up 17 points, but the broader market is negative. NASDAQ is down 7. The S&P 500 now losing 1 point. Craig Callahan, Chief Investment Officer at Meridian Investment, says it's not a very typical week for Wall Street.
8 to 10 days have just been messy and driven by forces that aren't normal buy and sell. I think they're more event or gimmick related, whether it's triple witching or year-end tax related. Just the regular pattern of the market has been interrupted, and today seems to be no exception.
Callahan referring to today's triple witching Friday as options and futures contracts expire on Wall Street, creates extra volume and volatility. Wall Street is up on Gap, though, ahead of the final Christmas shopping weekend. Gap stock running up to its highest level of the year, in fact, on positive analyst comments about the company's holiday collections and promotions. The stock is up a little more than a dime. Again, the Dow is ahead by 17 points. NASDAQ is down 7. I'm Joe Matthew from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
1:41 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock, and let me just see. I got, this is from... Fred sent me this, and I've got to share it with you as to why Americans, you know, why they don't see what's going on. And it's the question I've been asking. What is the story here, and why don't Americans see what's going on, and why don't they vote their best interests? And we'll get to that in just a moment. Let's go to the phones, 303-382-1150. Sam on a cell. Hi, Sam. You're live with Enid.
How you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
It's great that you bring these points because, you know, I don't agree what Darwin said, but I read one of his books. He said that the truth always hurts when you're not expecting it. And these neocons, I mean, you're just putting the flame right underneath them. And I love it.
All right. I want to invite people who really are going to support Bush, how they can support him in the face. Particularly if you're a real conservative, how can you support him in the face when they're trying to impose more secrecy, using 9/11 as an excuse, but stuff that we really have every right to know? How can people support How can you support Bush and this regime? That's my question.
You know, even just a day ago or 2 days ago, even their grandmaster neocon rhetoric guy, drug addict Rush Limbaugh, disagreed with the emperor here, George Bush, of letting go basically Taiwan, you know, to let the status quo let go of, you know, of trying to be independent. Because, you know, he's trying to push this democracy BS in the Middle East and yet telling Taiwan to die. Because I don't know if you know this, but a lot of the Bush's brothers are getting a lot of feedback from Chinese factories.
Sam, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Arlie Hochschild, whose husband I think has been a major cheese at Mother Jones Magazine, has just, and she's a professor in California, maybe at Berkeley. She's written this piece. George W. Bush is sinking in the polls. Well, he was until they brought in Saddam Hussein. But a few beats on the war drum could reverse that trend and reelect him in 2004. Ironically, the sector of American society now poised to keep him in the White House is the one that stands to lose the most in virtually all of his policies. And that is blue-collar men. A full 49% of them and 38% of blue-collar women told a January 2003 Roper poll that they would vote for Bush in 2004. Now, there is a huge gap, and I have to share this with you because it is incredibly interesting, and that is that more among highly educated couples, there's a huge gender gap. Women tend to go for Democrats, and men tend to go for Republicans. Now, would somebody explain that to me, please? This is divided households, highly educated couples, often split on the candidates. Here are two couples. He's a venture capitalist. She is an attorney. She is going to go for the Democrats. He is definitely going to go for the Republicans. And they aren't unusual. So remember that book, Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus? Well, apparently, it's a phenomenon that's been brewing for the last 10 or 12 years. Men apparently see the Republican Party as more macho, and women see the Democratic Party as more caring. And it depends on how you're wired, or maybe it depends on whether you're smarter. And I wonder if somebody will comment about that. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. The stereotypes of the two political parties, Democrats as the party of the working stiff, Republicans as representing those with money in the bank, don't fit any longer. Each party has become a more complicated coalition in which social issues and values are as much a unifying force as traditional bread-and-butter concerns. Candidates in both parties are shaping their messages to hold new supporters and win black voters that they're losing. Bush's compassionate conservative appeal in 2000 was targeted to white-collar women. But the ones that are holding the fate of the election in hand are blue-collar workers, and particularly blue-collar men. A full 49% of them and 38% of the blue-collar women told a January Roper report that they would vote for Bush in 2004, and they are the ones who stand to be most screwed by President Bush. But he apparently projects that tough guy image, and that's why they're going for it. Is there any other reason? Can anybody explain this to me? 303-382-1150, and if you're going to be a Bush supporter or are, in the face of all these horrible and wicked things that the Bush administration is doing, I want to hear why. In fact, blue-collar workers were more pro-Bush than professionals and managers, among whom only 40% of men and 32% of women, when polled, favor him. That is, people who reported to Roper such occupations as painter, furniture mover, waitress, and sewer repairman were more likely to be for pro-big business president than people with occupations like doctor, attorney, CPA, or property manager. High school graduates and dropouts were more pro-Bush than people with graduate degrees. And people with family incomes of $30,000 or less were no more opposed to Bush than those with incomes of $75,000 or more. Please explain this to me. Van in Boulder, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid, how you doing?
Doing well. I'm doing a
good deal. Well, my theory on it is that, you know, I don't know when it was, but at some point it became, you couldn't really be what I would call a head-banging Democrat, you know, sometime after the 60s, because it used to be, you know, my uncle was a union organizer in the late 50s and early 60s, and you were tough. If you were in the, you know, in the steel towns of Pennsylvania organizing a union, that was a bunch of tough, you know, testosterone-driven Democrats. And I think the Democratic Party just doesn't like testosterone anymore.
Well, I don't think they'd know it if they saw it, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. They're pretty gutless, you know. But and I think that what happens is that you know, so there's that. And then you've got Republicans that will actually embrace, encourage, kind of, you know, all of the what I would call hijinks, male hijinks. You know, just kind of that expression, that chest puffing.
Yeah, but here's what's so interesting. It's all fake. I mean, you've got the biggest collection of chicken hawks in the world in Washington, starting with Dick Bush, our president, or otherwise known as W. Dick.
Right.
Or Dick W. Bush, our president, and he didn't go. Cheney didn't go, but they all macho posture like crazy.
Right. Did you ever see that one person shows that defending the caveman?
No, I did not. Although I think I had the playwright on the show.
Yeah, it was a great show, but I think that's part of what's going on is that you've got a lot of folks that, you know, are blue collar, you know, they like to watch, you know, boxing, mixed martial arts. I'm really into mixed martial arts and fighting. You know, I like it a lot. And but at the same time, I consider myself very liberal on any number of issues. And I have to actually swallow a certain amount of, I guess, that testosterone drive when I am, you know, around a bunch of my liberal friends because it just doesn't play that well. You know,
man, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Explain to me, why are more women going for Democratic candidates and their just as equally educated husband going for Republicans? So it becomes a gender issue. Why is it that the blue collar that really doesn't stand to benefit from this pro-business regime, why are they going for Bush? Explain this to me. I don't get it. 303-382-1150. Brad on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, yeah. I got one idea for you. I'm actually not blue collar, but I know I used to be. Anyway, a lot of blue collar people really resent that they work real hard for their money, and they really have a perception that welfare people are milking the system, and they know people that are beating the system out of that money, and it really bothers them to such a point that it just drives them crazy.
But see, this is where you've got what the sociologists call cognitive dissonance. You've got the Republican Party that's always been called fiscally conservative, fiscally responsible, being hideously irresponsible in these enormous deficits, historic deficits, spending like there's no tomorrow, giving tax cuts to the richest Americans, making it off the backs of the poorest and the middle class, the working poor and the middle class, and blue-collar workers simply do not see it. They don't want to see it. It's much more simplistic. It's easier to grow when you say, well, hey, the Republicans, they're tough, they're fiscally tough, they're fiscally conservative, and they are so macho, they're going to win the war on terrorism for us. And the facts indicate everything otherwise.
I don't know if it's so much so macho, but they really believe that he's doing the right thing. If we don't fight him in Iraq, we'll be fighting him here. And you don't have to convince me. I know it's all BS.
Are you kidding? We don't even have enough money for Homeland Security in Colorado.
Well,
so we are not any safer. 303-382-1150. Brad in Evergreen. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Enid, I got your answer.
What?
I'm
waiting.
I really think it breaks down to the Democratic Party tends to focus on more emotional issues. So, for example, the poor, the elderly, the working man, they tend to go for emotions more. And I think the Republican Party is less emotional, more emotionless. I won't say it's more fact-based necessarily, but it's less into the emotions and more into the numbers.
You know, you could be right about that, Brad. You may very well be right. And so it appeals. So what Democrats are interested in more appeals to women. And what Republicans, what they express as their areas of concern, more appeal to men.
Yeah, I love the fact that women are more emotional and they're more in touch with emotion. And I think that is what
they could decide.
The difference between what they're talking about. I mean, Bush is talking about being tough and making sure that this and this and this happen, whereas Dean is talking about things like, hey, we're making mistakes and people are getting hurt and we shouldn't be doing this. And it is much more.
But you know who can also, besides blue collar workers, who can decide this election? Women. Women can decide this election.
I think they can.
They
yeah.
can, and so can gay voters as well. Well, I don't know. In Colorado, they can determine the outcome of an election.
Well,
whether nationally that's the case or not, I don't know.
They vote in a block.
Gay that's
voters
right.
Vote in a block, and if you don't have their vote, you got to give away, what is it, you know, 5-10% of the vote.
Brad, I think you're you may have hit on it, and I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Teresa calling from Bailey. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
I'm well, Teresa.
Hey, I sent you a fax yesterday.
Yeah.
From QVC showing a product where you can buy President George Bush and his aviator action figure.
They got a sock down the front of it?
Well, I don't know if that's part of the equipment.
the package, as they say.
Yes. But I thought the description of it was kind of interesting, that it's a positionable action figure.
So he can stick his head up his behind? Is that it?
Well, isn't that the truth about him, though?
I know. Well, I'm calling him. It's not going to be W anymore. He's going to be Dick Dork.
Well, the reason I faxed it to you, I was kind of wondering, who do you think would authorize this, and where's the damn money going?
I hope it's going to MoveOn.org or George Soros or somebody to run more commercials. That's what I hope. But I can't imagine. It's probably going to an entrepreneur's pocket. Teresa, I thank you for that call. 303-382-1150. It is a fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. And the pre-holiday, that kind of holiday edition of Enid Live, too, right here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Say it.
You're absolutely correct.
Don't spray it. AM 1150 KNRC.
Do you sometimes wish that CNN Crossfire used real bullets? Did Geraldo lift the fog of war for you? Is the Saudi royal family as inbred as Buckingham Palace? PlayingPolitics2004.com has the answer to these and 102 other pressing political questions. If you secretly prefer same-sex marriage because you know it won't create any more Democrats, or you don't really care who carries California in November, just as long as they carry it further out into the Pacific Ocean, then Playing Politics 2004 is required reading. Get involved in the political debate, because remember, you live in a free democracy where every 4 years, our political leaders wish to be black, gay, poor, Hispanic, Southern, Northern, liberal, conservative, but most of all, re-elected. Playing Politics 2004 decks can be purchased at the Tattered Cover Bookstores, the Artisan Center in Cherry Creek, or at www.playingpolitics2004.com.
This Saturday at Sears, from 7 to 10 a.m., save an extra 10% throughout the store, even on sale prices. All the best gifts all in one store. Save on all cozy fall and holiday sweaters, coats for the family, and on all fine jewelry. With great savings on TVs, DVD players, and digital cameras, now is the time to upgrade your home electronics. Plus, between 7 and 10 a.m., all camcorders are on sale. Hurry into the Saturday early open sale. Shop early and give the good life. Sears, good life, great price. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Find us online at Sears.com. Sale date 12/20.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. Many young Americans have a learning difference that makes it difficult to reach their full academic potential. Research indicates that more than 40% of our population fits this description. Denver Academy specializes in teaching students with learning differences. If your child's not experiencing the academic success in school you want, contact Denver Academy at 303-777-5161 or go online to denveracademy.org.
Recently, the leading 5W30 conventional motor oil and Castrol Syntec were tested under extreme heat and stress, beyond anything a car would ever face. The winner, Castrol Syntec. Everything else is just motor oil.
Dr. Yuki hosts the exciting The Wild and Wacky World of Pets and Animals, airing live Saturdays at 2 p.m. on KNRC. The show is a zany, fast trip into the hilarious and fascinating world of animals. Learn unusual facts about the critters with which we share our world. Callers can win prizes during the Pet Trivia Challenge. And lots of fun is in store. Don't miss the fast-paced, action-packed hour of fun and hilarity with Dr. Yuki and the Wild and Wacky World of Pets and Animals, Saturdays at 2 on KNRC.
Hi, I'm Doug Kelly. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
156 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I come back to my computer, and I don't know how magically this happened, but here is somebody put this up here. I don't think I did it, but it's some little video thing called Lord of the Right Wing, and it's about the Bush administration under the headline of Bush, Recall Bush, Recall Bush. I don't know how that popped up on my computer. 303-382-1150. Dave in Wheat Ridge, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. Dave here. Listen, I appreciate your program and your views.
You.
My family kind of converted from Democrat to Republican in 1963. I'm originally from Texas. And in '63, LBJ signed the Equal Rights Amendment. And that's when my father and a lot of his brothers and my mother's side as well seemed to convert from being staunch Democrats to now staunch Republicans.
What about you? What did you do?
I'm pretty neutral. I consider myself a centrist, but it was just an observation.
Why did they make the change, do you think? Did they start to come up on the socioeconomic ladder? They're making more money?
Well, I don't know about that, but I think it infuriated a lot of those people in the South. I think we lost the entire South, all 10 or 12 of those states in 63 when LBJ signed the Equal Rights Amendment.
Who did you vote for in the last election? Gore?
Gore.
And what are you going to do in this election? Any Democrat? Is that what you're going to do?
I decided on the Democrat. I guess I think I'll go Democratic. I won't vote for Bush. I have no use for the man. And I recommend that everybody read the book Bushwhacked. Gives a lot of good information.
We're trying to get Molly Ivins on. We've had Lou DeBose on, who the two of them together have written a previous biography of Bush, and this takes it a little bit further. So we're trying to get those guys on.
Yeah, I'd love to see those people make your show.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate it. So what do you think it is? Why men and women? Why are women going for Democratic candidates? Is it what Brad and Evergreen says? Democrats tend to cover the terrain of the more emotional issues?
Well, I don't know. I think Bush has a lot of folks bushwhacked, a lot of the men anyway. I know he's got the entire state of Colorado pretty much wrapped up.
Well, then that just shows that men are not as smart as women. I'm sorry. We have to have a tax on men, because who commits more of the felonies? Who's taking up more of the jail space? I mean, listen, let's get this. And their chromosome is damaged. What is it, the Y chromosome? It's damaged, and they're going to be extinct in about 125,000 years, so we better get used to having no men around.
You know,
which is almost the case anyway.
When I was a young man, I would have argued that point with you, but as I get older, I tend to agree more with you.
Dave, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Just a few more seconds in this hour, but you're lucky. One more hour of Enid, the Fabulous Friday edition, holiday edition coming up. Leave it right here. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150.
KNRC 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Sunny, 56 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by RAD. Will Kobe Bryant's accuser's medical history be discussed in open court? That was the key bone of contention in the first half of today's pretrial hearing. Bruce Morton reports from Eagle.
Judge Terry Ruckriegel is trying to balance the rights of the accuser versus the rights of the media. An attorney representing the media says this subject matter should be brought up in open court because it's already been publicized. The alleged victim's attorney says because it's out in the open doesn't preclude his clients being further traumatized by more of the same publicity. Ruckriegel has yet to make a decision. Bruce Morton, Eagle, Colorado.
Meanwhile, Judge Ruckriegel rejected a prosecution request to investigate the source of a leak to the media about the DNA evidence. He also suggested the parties work out a way for defense experts to be present during testing that could destroy small samples of DNA taken from the clothing of both parties. Holiday travel numbers are up at Denver International Airport. 760,000 passengers expected to pass through DIA the week leading up to Christmas, up to 30,000 from the same week last year, nearly 60,000 more from Thanksgiving week this year. Airport officials say the TSA effectively handled the Thanksgiving rush despite a reduction in screeners. The airport vows to keep as many screening lines open as possible for the Christmas crunch, but reminds travelers the process may take longer than normal. If you have a flight and wonder just how long those security lines are, you can call the DEN Tips line at 303-342-8477. Checking your bags at the curb versus the ticket counter may save you some time, too. Colorado has a new Secretary of Technology. Governor Bill Owens today announced the appointment of Leroy Williams, Jr. of Aurora. Williams will replace John Hansen, who recently resigned to rejoin the private sector. He'll keep his current position, State Chief Information Officer. Williams starts his new job on New Year's Day. Law enforcement officials in New York City are downplaying the latest reported threats of terrorist attacks on U.S. cities. The NYPD issued a statement today saying it has no credible intelligence pointing to a specific or imminent terrorist threat to New York City. Federal officials say they're still receiving a good amount of intelligence, suggesting that Al-Qaeda will strike American interests at home or overseas, but the information is not specific. Homeland Security officials say they do not expect the nationwide terror alert level to be raised unless they get more specific information. A parade of defense witnesses are taking the stand in the sentencing phase in the capital murder trial for convicted D.C. area sniper Lee Malvo. Kathy Culpepper reports.
Teacher Esme McLeod, who taught Malvo in Jamaica, cried while talking about how Malvo's mother constantly moved him around. McLeod told the jurors that everyone was really hurting for Malvo. McLeod then started repeating over and over again that Malvo's treatment was not fair, was not fair. McLeod said everyone was sure that Lee would achieve excellence if he could just be allowed to settle somewhere. Teacher Beth Crissy, who taught Malvo while he was in Bellingham, Washington, talked about how helpful Malvo was and how well-groomed he was. Malvo's lawyers are trying to humanize him so the jurors won't give him the death penalty. Kathy Culpepper, Chesapeake.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention say flu now is widespread in 36 states. All 50 states have confirmed cases of influenza this season. The outbreak described as regional in 12 states and New York City. One state in the District of Columbia reported local influenza activity. One state reported only sporadic activity. About 36,000 Americans die from the flu-related illness in an average year. More than 90% are over 65. This year, however, flu hitting children hard. At least three dozen kids have died this season from flu, 11 in Colorado alone. For that hard-to-shop-for person who seems to have everything, how about buying them their own town? One of the last remnants of the Old West, the Arizona town of Tortilla Flat, is being auctioned off on eBay for just $5.5 million. The town is in the Superstition Mountains, just 40 miles east of Phoenix. It was immortalized by author John Steinbeck. The auction includes a restored school, general store, restaurant, ice cream parlor, candy store, and a rebuilt post office. Interest in the auction is high, over 50,000 hits as of this morning. No bids recorded yet, though. On Wall Street, stocks were mixed as the markets got ready to close. Dow was up 17 points, NASDAQ down just over 7, the S&P 500 down just about a point. In sports, the Denver Nuggets take on the Lakers in L.A. tonight. Colorado Avalanche in California also, they're playing the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. Denver Broncos play a Sunday night game against the Colts in Indianapolis. Broncos quarterback Jake Plummer says that playing on turf should help their chances at a win. Broncos go into the game at 9-5, Colts are at 11-3. RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving, says don't take your lifestyle on the road. Designate before you celebrate. Learn more at radd.org. Traffic and your exclusive weather channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
This is Wally Frew of the Frew Law Firm. If you've been injured, you should speak with a lawyer about your rights and find out whether you have a claim against the person who caused your injury. Not every accident is someone's fault, but many accidents are caused by negligence. Your claim is worth looking into. Let the Prue Law Firm help you deal with insurance companies about your medical bills, lost income, and getting a reasonable settlement for your injury. If necessary, we'll go to court with you. The Prue Law Firm handles many kinds of accidents, like car accidents, wrongful death, slips and falls, dangerous products, medical malpractice, and other types of civil litigation. An initial consultation with the Prue Law Firm is absolutely free. I'm Wally Prue, and I will speak with you personally and honestly about your case. If you're looking for a lawyer who will personally work on your case and not see you just as a potential fee, please call me, Wally Prue, at the Prue Law Firm, LLC, 303-893-8331. Again, that's the Prue Law Firm, 303-893-8331.
KNRC News Time is 2:06. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by AutoZone. Got a couple problems downtown. Colfax and Spear got an accident. Got to tie up all four directions there. And then eastbound 6th Avenue right at Kalamath, an accident as well. That's going to tie up 6th Avenue. 3-day special at AutoZone this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday only. Get $20 off the price of a Duralast Gold battery after mail-in rebate. Limit one this weekend only at AutoZone. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. More sparkling sunshine than anything else and milder than normal temperatures will continue. Pretty nice run here. 56 or so for our high today, with mainly clear skies tonight. We'll drop back into the low 20s. It'll be partly cloudy, upper 50s tomorrow, upper 40s by Sunday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's sunny, 56 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
happens now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:07, 7 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock only, and then I'm taking all next week off. I'm going to San Francisco, but I'll be back on Monday the 29th. Jerome Davis will be taking over for me, and so you're going to be in great hands, and I'll have tales to tell. And this is, so therefore, for me, this is the also the holiday edition of Enid Live, at least the Christmas Hanukkah Kwanzaa edition of Enid Live. And in light of that, we've been talking a lot about politics. We'll get back to it, but I want to start this hour. I have lots of things that I haven't gotten to, and I think it'd be fun to make it a potpourri. But as some of you know, in a previous life and how I got into talk radio was as a writer. And there was a time that I ran away, and it was over Christmas. It was in late November that I got started, and I was living in Marin County, and I ran away to live with the Hopi Indians, never mind that I knew none and none had invited me to stay. And as I left California and got closer and closer to Hopi land and higher elevations and colder temperatures, and living in my car in an all-night laundromat, I started to ponder, what does it mean? What is home? And what does it mean to be home? And eventually I wrote a piece about it, which was published widely. And let me just, if you don't mind, I think I read it last Christmas. Let me share it with you this Christmas. And here we go. Let me start. It's a little bit of a memoir and a little bit of what does it mean? What do the holidays mean? And where is home? And so on. In that small, largely Protestant town in Michigan where I grew up on the farm, the only approved holiday to celebrate during December was Christmas. It didn't matter if you were Jewish, as I was. The distinctions between church and state evaporated during the holiday season, and all children, regardless of race, creed, religious persuasion, or type of auto their parents drove, were expected to participate in the Christmas play and sing all the carols that were being taught. I pleaded with my mother to let me be in the Christmas play, but she was adamant. I promised that if she let me sing Christmas carols, which to this day I find as rich and moving as when I was a child, I would not believe the lyrics. No matter how persuasive or sophistical my arguments were, running at the time, I believe, to the fact that the little Lord Jesus was Jewish, she remained unmoved. So I came face to face with being a minority, not that I hadn't known it before, what with learning to read Hebrew, which it gradually dawned on me none of my classmates was required to do, and worse, an outsider, something I had always suspected, but which was now confirmed. I suppose growing up and not being allowed to participate in a dominant national holiday makes it seem all the more mysterious, sweeter in a way, forbidden fruit. Maybe it's the reason on Christmas Eve I like to go to church. Anyone will do. One year it was to a Catholic church where the service was heavily laced with incense and ritual, but seemed distant. The heart, which wanted to rouse itself, couldn't stir. The next year, a group of us took our business to Grace Cathedral, where the sermon was memorable, in part moving. But something was still missing. None of us knew what. Each of us blamed ourselves. This year we shopped around for something more ethnic. Notice the terms I've been using, business, shopping. What I'm getting at is there are certain contradictory, schizophrenic qualities about a religious holiday with a long tradition that wasn't even declared legal in this country until 1836 in Alabama. For one thing, hardly ever did the sacred and profane spend as much time in each other's arms as they do at Christmas. Second, although this is the season to be jolly, you can hardly pick up a magazine or listen to a talk show without hearing about holiday depression. Probably one of the main reasons for holiday depression is that no matter how hard we try, Christmas is rarely that Norman Rockwell cover we all carry around in our heads. Even the charming custom of sending Christmas cards, which was originally designed to save people the time they would normally spend in writing long letters to loved ones, has run amok. Quote, personalized with the printed name of the sender, cards are now frequently sent out with no human markings on them whatsoever, except perhaps the recipient's address if it hasn't been typed. It was bad enough when Christmas began on the heels of Thanksgiving. But to everyone's dismay, it is slowly creeping into the nether reaches of Halloween. Actually, it's reached, as soon as we go back to school, we start talking about Christmas, and still, there is not enough time. But the worst part of this duality we call Christmas is that it is considered the time of year when everyone's supposed to feel more spiritual, in spite of the fact that it is a time of high materiality. I'm not suggesting that the two can't coexist, but the tendency to purchase Christmas frequently overshadows the ability to experience it. The result is that around January 2nd, what we are often left with is a pile of bills, a massive hangover, and a profound sense that Christmas has happened while we were out shopping. Perhaps the most paradoxical and vexing part of Christmas is that suddenly we're supposed to manifest those vague spiritual longings that we are mostly required to suppress during the rest of the year. Unfortunately, it sometimes happens that no matter how hard we try to summon our best goodwill toward men and women feelings, too much disuse of this particular muscle seems to have caused it to atrophy. So, as we are being exhorted to open the rusty hinges of our hearts, we find to our dismay that the door doesn't budge. Often to compensate, only the facial muscles do. Christmas is a time of great feasting. But what are we really hungry for at Christmas, I wonder? The quest for the answer to that question has become to encompass a greater territory than the question of which church I will attend on Christmas Eve. It has begun to expand into the other days of the year, although if I had to put a focus on it, Christmas seems to be the home office. To this end, I decide one Christmas to volunteer at St. Anthony's Dining Room, which is located in the Tenderloin of San Francisco, by the way, not a great area. I thought I had come to help people, quote, less fortunate than myself. But the truth was, as I later learned, I was there to shock some part of my sensibility into functioning again, into feeling. I was hoping for a little spiritual uplift. The noble sentiments, wanting to serve, wanting to feel connected, wanting to help, wanting to spread holiday cheer, were getting confused with the less noble ones. In the food line that passed before me were hungry people who carried on conversations with partners not visible to the naked eye. In that line were people whose body parts had moved and left no forwarding address. In that line were people not unlike myself. What I began to see as each person shuffled past, accepting the ossified pastry I dispensed, was that the only real difference between them and me was that I was on one side of the counter and they were on the other. More specifically, the only real difference between them and me was some failure of the imagination. Moreover, it wasn't necessarily clear whose imagination had failed and whose hadn't. The thought depressed me. The spiritual uplift I was expecting did not materialize. Further, when I saw I had been giving only to get, I was mortified. How could I expect these people, some of whom were barely ambulatory, to do for me what I could not, would not do for myself, what they could not, would not do for themselves? It took a while before I realized all this. There followed, however, the gradual understanding that the experience at St. Anthony's had given me a greater gift than I could have imagined, had enabled me to see that in giving I had hoped to receive, but that real giving has no such price tag attached. Armed with this knowledge, the following Christmas I set out for a more remote region, a more remote territory than St. Anthony's Dining Room. I set out for the high mesas of northern Arizona, Hopi region, living in my car, in all-night laundromats, and finally when I arrived, in places without plumbing, water, or electricity. Just what is home, I began to wonder as I moved from place to place, as the radio endlessly taunted, there's no place like home for the holidays. No one seems to have satisfactorily defined what home is, except to say that we can't go back there again. Many of you who are of a more literal persuasion and years ago memorized your address will take exception. Everyone is supposed to know where home is. But is it a place? Whose place? The family's home? The small town that now barely exists? Relatives who are no longer alive? Expectations that were never fulfilled? Some place deep inside us? Where exactly is home? The day of Christmas Eve, I found myself in Santa Fe, New Mexico, as a gentle snow tumbled down, sitting in a bar with people I'd only just met, when one of them asked me where I planned to spend Christmas. On the road, I suppose, I answered, wondering to myself how the truck stops were planning to celebrate this holiday, knowing I would find out soon enough. Why don't you join us? The man asked. We're having a small family gathering. My father will be there and my aunt, so will Sissy here, he said, pointing to the woman who sat on the bar stool next to him. And he added, smiling shyly, we would be happy if you would come. The man, who seemed nice enough, gave me his address. The next morning, following his directions, I found myself driving farther and farther out of town, higher and higher into the already high elevation, 7,000 feet of Santa Fe. I had to look hard to find the road that led off the main highway, a long curving affair that seemed to go on for miles before it stopped at the gate of an old adobe house poised high on a mountain overlooking a vastness below and with more rooms in it than a hotel. Maybe it was a hotel. A maid answered the door. Right behind her came my friends from the bar, and behind them I could see the aunt cooking dinner. The aunt, Smith, 22, who divulged that she had written her first book at the age of 79, she was now 82, was dressed in red and green and chatted amiably. The father was ill, but still peppery. Dinner consisted of a goose, plum pudding, pasta with truffle sauce, and for dessert, a bouche de Noël. The room shone with polished silver, fresh flowers, and handsome crystal vases. Heavy linen. Over the fireplace hung a painting of a cross by Georgia O'Keeffe that she had given the family. Under the tree was a box with my name on it, a gift of Schramsberg, Blanc de Blanc. "Welcome," my new friend said quietly. I stayed a week. "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers," St. Paul admonished the Hebrews, "for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." I wasn't that day an angel, though I certainly felt like one. December has always been a special month, even in pagan times, a Saturnalia where festivals were celebrated in that leisure between fall harvest and the spring planting. It is a time of the winter solstice, a time when the days begin to lengthen as they inch out of darkness into greater light, the sun's return to the earth, the Star of Bethlehem. Hanukkah is called the Festival of Lights. Perhaps then, in its most literal or metaphorical octave, this is a time of enlightenment, illumination, the radiance of the child born, glory on high. It is perhaps not an accident that we celebrate at this time the birth of someone who was denied room at the inn. Could it be that the sadness we felt just now, the holiday depression that is referred to, is in some way a recognition of that part of our own journey in which we feel separate, sometimes unconnected, outsiders for whom there is no room at the inn, no inn at all, no home? And can it also be asked that if we are allowed for a moment to move beyond the obvious commercialism of Christmas, beyond the shallow reaches of the mouth that smiles while the eyes remain fixed, could we find for ourselves those gifts inside, that place where reconciliation and transformation are possible, if we can only get beyond the small nation states of mind to a vastness composed of quiet and profound joy, where, hark, you may say, the herald angels sing? I wrote that a while ago, and I have an addendum to add to it. The man I met at the bar, after I'd been on the road, who said, "Well, we're going to be having, what are you doing for dinner on Christmas Day?" And I said, "Gee, I don't know, probably spending it at a truck stop." And he said, "Well, Sissy here," and she was sitting next to him, "Sissy here, she'll be there, and why don't you join us?" Now fast forward to moving to Denver, which I did a year and a half ago. Maybe 2 or 3 weeks after I moved to Denver, there was a very loving obituary written about a man whose name seemed vaguely familiar, by Peter, he's on the editorial board, I want to say Thronis or Cronus of the Denver Post, I believe. And that name seemed really familiar to me. And it was a good friend of his, Francis Wilson II. And I went to my old ratty address book that has been too much trouble to transfer numbers into, and the numbers now, you can barely make them out, and the pages are tremendously tattered, and it would take me a month to transfer those numbers. And there was listed Francis Wilson II, Tug Wilson, who Peter was writing an obituary of, the very person who'd been sitting on that bar stool, except that the story had a darker side to it. He was a beloved friend to a number of people. He'd been depressed for many years. Everybody had tried everything, and finally he simply could not continue on. And just a couple of weeks after I moved to Denver, I realized in that obituary that he had committed suicide, much to the chagrin of his friends who must have felt helpless to help him, and that he was the man who many years before that had helped me in ways that he will never know. And I had no idea he was in Denver, because the last and only time I ever encountered him was in Santa Fe, New Mexico, sitting on that bar stool inviting me to that wonderful Christmas gathering at his home, a gathering that I never forgot, and I was made to feel very welcome at. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150, KNRC 303-382-1150.
Where Denver comes to hear both sides talk.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
AM 1150, KNRC.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett, and I'm inviting you to get your holiday cheer from Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits, located at 12th and Broadway. Well, it's that time of the year with the holidays, and a lot's going on between now and the first of the year. And Brenda Francis from Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits is here with me now. Brenda, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Doug, and you?
I need your help. We got holiday parties, just any good time with friends. Help me out here.
Well, Doug, we pride ourselves on finding inexpensive bottles of wine that will just knock your socks off. Any occasion that you have, in any price range, we can find the perfect bottle or case of wine. If you're entertaining, we can work with any budget so that all of your friends will be impressed with the wines that you've served at your party.
Golden Triangle is very tech-savvy, too. They have a great website where you can view sales items and sign up for the weekly newsletter. Go to GoldenTriangleWines.com. And don't forget, you'll get a 10% discount off wines if you tell them you heard it right here on KNRC.
Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits, where variety, pricing, and convenience intersect at the corner of 12th and Broadway. Call 303-893-8437. Computers talk in a strange language to us. Then again, so do computer techies. It's hard to find someone who will understand your computer needs. That's why when you're looking for solutions to your computer problems, you're looking for datatarget.com. At datatarget.com, you'll find people who target your computer needs in plain English. They'll cater to your problems relating to Microsoft Windows, installation upgrades, email, networking, internet, security. Whether it's a business need or personal, you'll find datatarget.com. Makes the problem easy to solve. Datatarget.com will be there at your business or home to help rid the frustration of trying to resolve it by yourself or spending hours on the phone with a tech guy who can't even talk. Datatarget.com is affordable, and best of all, your first consultation is absolutely free. Datatarget.com. Call 877-856-1206. That's 877-856-1206. Or log on to www.datatarget.com.
AM 1150 KNRC features more in-depth reporting than any other Denver talk station. Our in-depth reports have been recognized by the Colorado Broadcasters Association and the Associated Press for 4 awards of excellence. Hear in-depth reports from award-winning KNRC reporters Mark Roberts and Stacey Farb during the Greg Dobbs Morning Show, or anytime at knrcradio.com, where you can click it and own it. Denver's in-depth talk station, AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Dominic Brascia.
And I'm Bill Thorpe.
Join us weeknights from 6 to 9 here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:25 on the holiday edition of Enid Live, the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm going to be gone all next week. I'll be in San Francisco. But I'll be back on Monday the 29th, and Jerome Davis will be sitting in for me, and I thank him for that. And that was, if you're just tuning in, that was a piece that I wrote a while ago. And it's funny how things that you do in an earlier time of your life, there's a connection later on. And I was saying that that wonderful person who invited me to a Christmas dinner that I have never forgotten at his home was somebody shortly after I arrived in Denver, fast forwarded a long time later, apparently committed suicide and was depressed. I never knew that. I never knew he was in Denver. And I always thought, gee, I wish I'd known he was here. Maybe I could have helped. But I guess it's a fiction we tell ourselves. And I want to share some more with you as we go along. I'm curious to know how you're going to spend Christmas or Hanukkah or celebrate the season, Kwanzaa. What are you going to be doing? Are you shopping? Are you frazzled? Are you taking time to really savor the moment? 303-382-1150. Janie calling on a cell. Hi, Janie. You're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. Janie Lozo here. Just calling to tell you that your story has touched me more than you can imagine. Even teared up over it.
Oh, Janie, thank you.
Dear Enid, I've been wanting to call you ever since you came to Denver. You are so terrific, so good. You have added so much to my life. Just want to wish you a happy Hanukkah, a happy, healthy New Year, and a wonderful trip in San Francisco.
Oh,
I love you, Enid.
I love you too, Janie. Thank you so much for calling. You're a doll. You're wonderful. You've added to my life too.
Ditto. Talk to you later.
All right.
Much love.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. That's my good friend Janie Lozo. She is wonderful. I really like her a lot. And this is one of the great benefits. People ask me about Denver. I think Denver's great. I really like Denver a lot. I like its manageability. For me, I can walk all around Lodo. I like that it's that I can find my way around, because as some of you know, I can't find my way out of a paper bag. And I have met the most wonderful people here. And that includes many of you, even some of you that we cuff each other around. And, you know, sometimes it gets a little tense and a little bit, you know, sparks fly. Still in all, I have been just delighted to be here. And I've been delighted with knowing all of you who call and the friends that I have made here. I feel like I'm a really lucky woman. Hal in Denver, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. That was quite beautiful. Thank you very much. That was a nice story.
Thank you. Thank you for calling. What are you going to do to spend Christmas? How are you going to celebrate?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to knock about a bit. I'm sure I'll end up someplace with some friends. I just want to wish you a happy holidays, and be careful, and come back to us.
I will. I'll be back on Monday the 29th, Al. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye. What am I doing? I don't know what I'm doing on Christmas Day. I know I'm going to try and celebrate Hanukkah tonight, and a friend has a party, a cocktail party, but it's not about Hanukkah. And on Christmas Day, another friend in San Francisco always does a Christmas for orphans who, whose families are other places. So I'm invited there, into an old friend in Santa Rosa. So I have to figure out what I'm going to do. 303-322-1150. Lucy in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Enid, it's Lucy. Did you call on me?
Yeah, I did. Welcome to the show.
I couldn't hear very well. I just wanted to tell you, politically, I couldn't disagree with you more, but I really respect all of the wonderful things you encourage people to do.
Well, thank you, Lucy.
And I just had an idea that I experienced this season that I hadn't seen before. I always do a Toys for Tots or something, you know, usually at a Starbucks or one of the other places. But I had a friend throw a party, a Christmas party, just a private party, and they did it for Toys for Tots. So everybody brought toys, and it really encouraged probably a lot of people that normally wouldn't have gone out of their way to do it. And it really it reminded me of something that you would recommend, or that you would...
The station has been involved with the Starlight Children's Foundation, so we've been recommending to go to Starbucks. But any generous thing you do at the holiday season, and even at the non-holiday season, is really appreciated. Lucy, that's a wonderful thing to do.
Thank you, Enid. Have a nice day.
You too. Thank you, and have a wonderful holiday.
Bye.
Bye. The other thing I want to suggest to people, too, I know that the food banks are in trouble, a lot of them. And, Joe, what were you telling me? What was it in Colorado that was in serious trouble? Come on in and tell me a little bit about it, because I know you made a note for me, and it's under this big pile of what laughingly refers to itself as my desk here. I know that food banks are in trouble in Colorado. Why don't you come suit up in front of the microphone? And were you running the board? Did I bring you in? Where's Billy? Where did Billy go? What were some of the charities? This is my producer, Joe Anderson.
Wow, this is the first Enid.
There you are.
Mood. Let me on the air.
I must be crazy, Joe.
Yeah, must be. Yeah, I was just perusing the news today, and I came across an article that there was a meeting of the mayors in major cities in America, and one of the topics they were talking about was homelessness and hunger in America, and how the need for food banks needing donations has increased. And the biggest city that had the biggest food shortage was Denver. That was they had a 48% rise in, I guess, people needing food. So
then if Denver has had the greatest need for food contributions, mm-hmm. where can we make the contributions? Should we check out all the food banks?
Yeah, that's what I assume. Like I said, I just saw the story briefly and pass along, but
let's do a little bit of research. How
okay,
about
we can do that.
Let's
we can
do that. That and let's find out. Maybe let's find out what some of the food bank addresses are, and mm-hmm. And I'm sure people could use donations. And do they need donations? I'm sure of money.
Money. Oh yeah.
And definitely. As well as canned goods and things that are non-perishables.
Yeah.
All right. Let's. Why don't we get a couple of addresses and phone numbers that we can give out to people?
Yeah. I'll get right on it.
Okay. Thank you, Joe Anderson.
No,
that's very good. So. In Colorado, you know, I was noticing a story that appeared over the weekend, and this was a story that I think was in the Sunday Post, and talking about very closely held figures for the ski industry and how the ski industry became complacent here, and so tourists aren't coming here in the numbers that they were. They're going other places. And I thought, well, maybe another couple reasons that they're not coming to Colorado is, can you spell flu virus and can you spell West Nile virus? And also there was a story in today's paper, which I've almost overlooked except a friend sort of brought it to my attention, that, you know, we know that there's a shortage of the flu vaccine, and this is the way our minds, I think, are starting to work. There are some, there we have, Colorado has been able to put its hand on some flu vaccine, but the flu manufacturers are charging, what, three times the price? Like, wait a minute. It still costs them the same amount to make it. These are these are kind of the dregs of the reserves. Why are they gouging us with three times the price? Why are they doing that? This is a public health issue. They're making their money out of it. They charged X amount, and now they're charging way more than that. Why are they doing it? Because the need is great? And I thought, you know, we just to start thinking about that's how the society has gone. So as we approach this holiday season, I think these are things to consider. Consider that without, consider that we just think that we are entitled to be gouged, that there's not the sense of common good. And, you know, that cliche, I think it comes from the Civil War, maybe it comes from Abraham Lincoln, a house divided cannot stand. I mean, it's become a cliche. It certainly is true. A house divided cannot stand. How can we come together? This would be a good thing to ponder this holiday season. The truth of the matter is politicians can get elected by pounding wedge issues, by pounding that which divides us, not that which unites us. And if you remember, Bush came into office saying, I'm a uniter, not a divider. But in fact, he's been the most divisive president that anybody can recall, the most secretive, the most ethically challenged, and probably among the not brightest presidents. That's why I'm calling him Dick Bush instead of W. Bush, because he is a perfect tool for these international powers, really, that run this country and that run a lot of other countries. The big corporate money, the big power structure. He's a wonderful, malleable. He's exactly what they want to have because they can make him do anything. He seems to have not too many ideas of his own. And one of what we're finding out in the research is that the red and blues are evenly divided. The people who love him, the people who hate him are evenly divided. And what we need to do, I think, is to come together. And we can do that. We can serve each other. We can think about how we can serve each other. Not only at Christmas time where you can. Okay, Joe tells me that we're going to go into the news break here in just a second, but afterward we're going to have somebody from Food Bank of the Rockies who can tell us what the situation is there and how great the need is. But around this time of year, sometimes it becomes even fashionable for people to sign up and help out at the various charities dispensing food on a food line. But what about the rest of the year? And what about writing a check to the food bank or making a donation to the food bank? Colorado has a huge need. Denver has a huge need. And maybe that's a good charity. Think of it. I mean, it's the most basic thing, food. You need it. I'm Enid Goldstein, 303-382-1150. Think about contributing. Think about how we can all come together as well. Think about how we can begin to think in terms of serving each other instead of the motto that's become what's in it for me. How can we be? We are here to serve each other. We are all. Lewis Thomas, who was a doctor, he headed up Sloan Kettering in New York. He won a National Book Award for a book called Lives of the Cell. He said he'd come to believe that all of us are part of one large and vast organism, that we're all specialized parts of it, so that we have to work together. And if it's true that there are only 10 Eves and a bunch of atoms, and we're all connected by DNA pretty much, and we're all sort of, our home office was somewhere in Africa. We're all African Americans. We're all brothers and sisters. We all ought to find a way to come together because the whole will be greater than the sum of the parts. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150, KNRC. 2:36, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. It's sunny, 55 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the Latter-day Saints. Kobe Bryant is back in court today in Eagle for a pretrial hearing in the sexual assault case against him. Inside the courtroom, the judge has rejected a prosecution request to investigate the source of a leak to the media about DNA evidence. He also suggested the parties work out a way for defense experts to be present during testing that could destroy small samples of DNA taken from the clothing of the two parties. A construction worker was killed killed around noon today at Front Range Reload near Iliff and Evans. Investigators say a pile of 2x4s fell on the man, killing him instantly. Bystanders worked for 15 minutes to reach the man under the lumber. He was pronounced dead on the scene. Numbers from the State Labor Department show a slight increase in unemployment in Colorado in November. The November rate was 5.6% versus 5.4 for October. There was an increase in new government jobs, but all other major industry sectors recorded job losses in November, with construction hit hardest. In sports, the Denver Nuggets and Colorado Avalanche have both headed west for games tonight. Nuggets will play the L.A. Lakers while the Avs take on the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. Invite the spirit of Christmas into your home with Joy of the World, a free DVD from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For a copy, visit joy.mormon.org. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecaster up next. KNRC News Time is 2:37.
PlayingPolitics2004.com is picking up evidence of intelligent life in the far center. These sounds audible only to people who are reasonable and humorous about political debate. It takes several months to reach the unconditioned ear of the demagogues on the far left and far right. But it's happening. The radical left and right are listening, but they are not amused. Unlike the Today Show, PlayingPolitics2004.com is separating the politicians from their real agendas by more than a floral arrangement. Do you want a humorous look at where Dean's really coming from? Rumsfeld's battlefield strategy or Hillary's plans for you? What does Pat Robertson stand for and the ACLU kneel to? Or is it the other way around? These decks will tell you. Playing Politics 2004 decks can be purchased at the Tattered Cover Bookstores, the Artisan Center in Cherry Creek, or at www.playingpolitics2004.com. We're doing business the old-fashioned way, legally.
KNRC News Time is 2:38. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by XL Energy. Got an accident coming in Buckley and Hamden. Shouldn't be too much of a factor for you, but you might see an occasional delay. Also, single lane of traffic operations up in the high country, US 6, just east of Highway 119. That might be a problem for people trying to head up to the high country. In winter, you use more energy, in spring less. Balance out your energy bills with an average monthly payment from XL Energy. Call 1-800-895-4999. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We couldn't have ordered a prettier day, and the streak will continue into the start of the weekend with temperatures again milder than normal. Certainly not too many clouds up there today. A high right around 56, mainly clear 23 tonight. 59 with sunshine tomorrow, cloudier on Sunday with a high of 47. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on 1150 KNRC.
It's sunny, 55 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:39. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
We co-host Style Matters Live on AM 1150 KNRC. You know that we know great shopping. That's why for this holiday season, we'll be at Aspen Grove on Santa Fe and Mineral in Littleton.
You got that right. Aspen Grove is an open-air shopping center. Park right in front of great stores like Pottery Barn, Coldwater Creek, Talbot's, and Chico's. It's an urban feel in the heart of suburbia with seven great restaurants. No food court food here.
Aspen Grove has stores you'd find at any mall, plus a few wonderful exclusives like the Carol Lee Adrian Vitadini shop, the new Italian department store Camille Lavi, and White House Black Market.
He will buy an outfit in white, and then I'm going to buy the same one in black. I heard that. For the holidays, Aspen Grove has free carriage rides. Have the whole family sign up for the gift registry. Make sure everyone gets what they really want.
Aspen Grove is located on Santa Fe at Mineral and Littleton, near the light rail station. Open Mondays through Saturdays 10 to 9 and Sundays 11 to 6.
You can't top Aspen Grove, where life meets style.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street's major averages wrapped up the week in mixed fashion. This also was triple witching Friday, a day when quarterly futures and options expire. The Dow Industrials rose 30 points to 10,278. The NASDAQ fell 5 points to 1951. The S&P 500 slid a half point to 1,089. Big board volume was about 1.6 billion shares. Advancers beat decliners by just over 100 stocks. Alcoa was one of the Dow's top performers, rising 92 cents a share. Morgan Stanley has upgraded the stock, in part because of a more bullish outlook for aluminum prices over the next 3 years. McDonald's, though, was the biggest percentage drag on the Dow, slipping 2% after its Japanese unit issued a profit warning for this year. McDonald's also has chosen DDB Worldwide to run its new French fry ad campaign. I'm Steve Orr from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Closes your phone.
303-382-1150. KNRC. 242 on the holiday edition of Enid Live, the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm going to be gone all week next week, and Jerome Davis will be filling in. But I'll be back on the 29th, Monday the 29th. And we have with us on the line Kevin Sigalski of the, or I'm sorry, have I got this right? Sigalski.
Sigalski.
You want to give it to me again, Kevin?
I'm sorry, Edith, it's Sigalski.
Sigalski. This is Joe Anderson at Sigalski here at Sigalski. All right, and you are a Food Bank of the Rockies. Tell us, what is the need? Because what we're getting here is that it is pretty grim in Denver. Denver suffered the greatest spike in demand for emergency food, with requests rising 48% this year. Food needs rose 40% in other places, but 48% this year in Denver. Tell us.
These are tough times for a lot of people, a lot of our friends and neighbors in Metro Denver, Enid, and those numbers we saw earlier this morning, and they're extremely consistent with what we hear from our agencies and other nonprofits that we deal with.
Okay, so are you, when people come in, first of all, if I wanted to come to the food bank, or if anybody did, do you require any kind of demonstration of need, or if you just need it, you get to come?
Well, what we do, Enid, is we actually are the ones that procure and distribute foods to the agencies that are really on the front line of hunger relief. And so we're more of the warehouse for those agencies to pick up food. But you're exactly right. To pick up food from one of our agencies, a simple declaration of need is all that is needed.
Okay, what can we do if we want to contribute? What can we contribute? What do you want from us? Money, I suppose, is probably number one. And where do we send our checks?
Well, the three legs of our stool are our donations of funds, of food, and of time. You know, our volunteers are extremely valuable to us as well. If anybody was interested in making a financial contribution, they can send it here to the Food Bank of the Rockies.
Food Bank of the Rockies.
And our address is 10975 East 47th Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And that is in Denver. And it's a zip code of 80239.
80239. So Food Bank of the Rockies, 10975 East 47th Avenue, Denver, 80239. Is this a tax?
Absolutely. We are a 501c3. Those donations are totally tax deductible.
Tax deductible, all right.
We also have a website. Mm-hmm. And if somebody wanted to do an online donation, they could do that as well.
What's your website?
It's www.foodbankrockies, all one word, .org, O-R-G.
Food Bank Rockies, R-O-C-K-I-E-S.
Correct.
.org. Okay.
Correct.
And if someone wants to contribute food, what are you looking for, and where can they drop it off?
Well, any donation of non-perishable food is most welcome by the agencies and obviously the end consumers. They can drop them off right at our warehouse here. We have a number of folks that have been very gracious in donating food here over the last month. They can drop them come right over to the Food Bank of the Rockies. Our warehouse is right at our office here.
Which is 10975 East 47th Avenue?
That's correct.
At 47th and what? What would be the cross street?
47th and Joliet.
And Joliet?
Yes.
Okay. 47th and Joliet, Food Bank of the Rockies. What are your hours? What days?
We are open 8 in the morning until 4:30 in the afternoon, and then we are also open one Saturday a month.
So this is Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m.?
That's correct.
And canned foods, non-perishables, so pastas, noodles,
yes,
that kind of thing?
Absolutely.
Tuna fish, soups?
Absolutely.
What about produce or something like that?
Well, produce, we would gladly take donations of produce. We do have the warehouse. We have a refrigeration capacity to take produce. I think.
What about if people bake things, or can you not determine whether or not they've been malevolent there?
Well, we need ingredient labels on everything that we distribute, either on the outside of the box, like a produce box, or, you know, home baked. So we, you know, frankly, do not like to receive those things because we don't know if they've been in the safe food handling and so on.
Yes, exactly right. Okay, so any kind of food that is packaged is probably the best. And what if people want to volunteer?
You can also call us here or volunteer. The phone number for the Food Bank of the Rockies is 303-371-9250.
303-7-
extension 236.
236. So 303-371-9250, extension 236.
That gets them right into our volunteer relations department.
And what do people do when they volunteer? What do you ask them to do?
Our volunteers, well, let me just give you an example today. We had volunteers here stuffing envelopes that were thank you letters to some of our donors. We had some volunteers helping us unload some trucks. We had some volunteers that helped us load trucks for our agencies. We also had some volunteers in here today helping us pick orders for those agencies as well. So they can be doing any number of things. It really depends on, you know, the specific day and what we need. But
what agencies do you serve?
We serve over 750 hunger relief programs and agencies in northern Colorado.
Give us the name of some of them.
Oh, gosh. The Samaritan House.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the guys from the Denver Rescue Mission were at our warehouse earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
The Colorado AIDS Project is an agency of ours. Goodness, I could probably go on and on. Volunteers of America helps us with volunteers, and they also get some food from us from time to time.
Are you getting donations from the big supermarkets?
Yes, they've been wonderful to us.
And what about the restaurants when they can't sell all those meals? Can they send stuff over?
And they've been wonderful with us as well. Anything that's prepared, surplus, but unplated and unserved, a number of restaurants are wonderful in calling us and asking us to pick those products up and get them back out into the folks that need it.
Let me ask you, the information I have is that Colorado, Denver particularly, the request this year rising 48%, that Denver is really in need. Are you noticing two phenomena? Is it that the donations are down and the need is up, or is it the donations are the same but the need is up? What are you seeing?
I think donations are pretty much flat, maybe just slightly ahead of last year, but the need is so great that it's taking care of whatever surplus food that we get. The demand truly is accelerating.
So you don't pick it up. We have to bring the food to you.
We get food donated to us from the retailers,
uh-huh.
From food drives, some food that we purchase.
Can we just donate it? Are there pickup places like at the grocery store so we don't have to come out to 47th and Joliet?
If you wanted to run a food drive, we could deliver you the barrels and pick up the food at the same time. We don't have any drop-off spots. That's one of the things, actually, that we're looking at, Ian, and we don't have them in place yet. But if there was an organization that wanted to do a food drive to benefit the number of agencies, we've got another number that they could call,
mm-hmm.
and we can set that up with them. We can deliver the barrels for the food, and we, in turn, would pick those barrels up when the food drive ended.
So it would be easy for us just to send you the check if we are in a position to do that.
Well, we can do it a lot with that. We can purchase 7 pounds of food for every dollar donated. So, you know, donation of funds are always welcome.
What about those government food programs where there were surplus cheese and surplus butter and surplus everything? That's been way diminished, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. And those are commodities that are under some of the Denver counties, some of the larger, I think Denver County distributes a lot of commodities, government commodities. From time to time, we're fortunate to get some surplus government commodities, and I think most recently we got powdered milk, and we distributed that through our agencies.
Well, I'm going to write you a check today before I leave to the Food Bank of the Rockies, 10975 East 47th Avenue, Denver 80239. That will be my contribution, Kevin.
You're kind. Thank you, Enid.
And I urge anybody listening to do the same or to find out now if a group wants to do a food drive and get a barrel, what number do we call?
Call 303.
Mm-hmm.
371
mm-hmm.
9250
mm-hmm.
and the extension is 214.
So if you have a group and you want to set up a barrel somewhere in a neighborhood or an area or something, you can call this number and they'll deliver a barrel to you and people can make contributions of non-perishable items. That's the best thing to contribute.
You're wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kevin. You're wonderful in what you do and we appreciate it. And I hope people can help. Thanks a lot, Kevin. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye. 303-382-1150. So I'm going to write a check. I hope you do, Food Bank of the Rockies, or maybe you can volunteer some time, or maybe you have some perishable stuff that now that you're on the Atkins diet, you're not going to be eating anytime soon. This is a way that you can make a contribution. I wanted to share this thought with you because one of the things that I was talking about is how we can come together. And this is something I did not write. Somebody else did, but I loved it so much I clipped it out, and I think this is a good time to read it. And the headline is, America Needs Its Geezers Now More Than Ever. I clipped this out a long time ago. I have a theory as to why George Bush, this is how long it was written. I have a theory as to why George Bush beat out his competition. George looked and acted like a geezer, and his competition didn't. I don't use a term, and this is George Bush the father, I don't use a term derisively. Americans like geezers. The word is slang for an old man. But being a geezer is less an aspect of age than of values and character. Harry Truman was a true geezer president. He swore a lot and called bad guys sons of bitches in public. He told the truth most of the time, is the only modern president whose net worth did not balloon, and is fondly remembered even by Republicans. Geezer politicians can write a memorable speech all by themselves. They can punch your lights out with rhetoric. In their campaign debate, Lloyd Benson used geezer rhetoric to blackjack Dan Quayle, "You're no Jack Kennedy." Will Rogers, who claimed he never met a man he didn't like, was our first media geezer, followed by Walter Cronkite. Jack Kennedy was on his way to being a geezer, albeit a slick one. Like most upper-crust American geezers, he liked women, whiskey, good cigars, and big cars. Despite having clawed his way to elder statesman status, Richard Nixon never achieved geezer rank because he still seemed motivated primarily by self-interest. Geezers worry instead about the common good. They pick up other people's litter, and they don't speed through yellow lights. Nixon hired John Dean, a proto-yuppie, who squealed. Geezers don't squeal. Geezers are easy to spot. At sporting events during the national anthem, they hold their caps over their hearts and gaze at the flag and sing without embarrassment. They know the words and believe in them. Many have tears in their eyes. That's because when they sing, they think of Pearl Harbor and Hitler and U-boats and lost buddies. They remember Guadalcanal and Korea. They remember the Depression. The look on their wife's face when they came home one day without a job or a check. They remember going to the bank to take out savings and finding it closed forever, their money lost by Wall Street slimeballs of that era. They stood in bread lines, ashamed and scared, yearning to work. If you bump into a geezer on the sidewalk, he'll apologize no matter whose fault it was. Excuse me, pass a geezer on the street and he'll nod or offer a greeting. If you speak first, a geezer's eyes will light up as though he was prepared for this moment all of his life, which in a way he has. He'll say, "Good afternoon," right back to you, and often add something like, "Nice day, isn't it?" There is a booster's enthusiasm in his voice. Geezers trust strangers, and they are courtly to women. There's not much depth on America's geezer bench because the years since Eisenhower have not produced good rookies. You need hardship and sacrifice. You need a nation of people who wouldn't laugh at the Boy Scout pledge. You need years of 2% inflation, affordable homes, and bookstores making money from literature, wisdom, and wit, not a book ghost-written for Donald Trump or the memoirs of Vanna White. Geezers have moral courage. They don't tell lies easily. They prefer the truth, uncomfortable as that often is. They knew before the civil rights movement began that racism is wrong. They had been through too much not to know it. Americans really do yearn for a kinder and gentler country with decent values and common sense like the one that produced our dwindling cadre of geezers. If you ask me, we need them more than ever. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Get your side, get their side. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Bet Your Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you.
There's nothing else like it in town. Too hot to handle. Marin Alsop's Up on Your Feet, jazz rock gospel reshaking of Handel's Messiah. This Thursday through Saturday, December 18th through 20th. It is too hot to handle. Tickets available at all King Supers, Tickets West outlets, and online at www.coloradosymphony.org.
And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100.
KNRC Community Commitment.
The Arvada Center presents the Honky Tonk Angels Holiday Spectacular now through December 28th at the Arvada Center's Indoor Theater. This new holiday hit reunites three original angels at the Hillbilly Heaven Club for a Christmas show. This humorous and touching performance includes country classics, holiday favorites, and even a little Elvis. Tickets can be purchased by calling the Arvada Center box office at 720-898-7200 or by going online to arvadacenter.com.
Don't fight traffic this holiday season. Take the number one way to get through the holiday rush. The Northwest Parkway is now open. Visit nwpky.org and learn how you can ride free this season. Are you stumped on what to buy that special someone for the holidays this year? Your special someone could meet Her Majesty Queen Noor of Jordan, retired General Tommy Franks, and business advocate Steve Forbes. Tickets are on sale now at www.distinguishedlectureseries.com and make a unique holiday gift. Series tickets start at only $50 and are available at distinguishedlectureseries.com. The KeyBank Denver Lecture Series is a program of junior achievement and sponsored by AM 1150 KNRC.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue just thinking about you.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:57 on this fabulous Friday and the holiday edition of Enid Live. I have a lot of people to thank. I want to remind you I'll be gone all of next week, but I will be back a week from Monday, the 29th. I'll be back as we run up to the new year. I don't know how you're planning to celebrate your holiday, and I don't know quite how I'm planning to celebrate mine either, but I'm looking forward to being back in San Francisco. And I have many people that I want to thank. I want to thank Joe Anderson, who's done a wonderful job producing this program. Jordan Lyles, who's not with me today, but he'll be back. And Billy Welch, who did a great job keeping us on the air today and technical director. And all of you who called and who have been listening, thank you so much. I appreciate your feedback. I have to apologize to you. Sometimes I'm not the best responder of emails. I really appreciate getting them. I look at all of them. Sometimes I just don't have the time to respond, but please don't take that personally. That's my problem, I guess, more than anything that you should regard personally. I loved getting your takes on things. We don't always agree with each other, but your feedback to me is invaluable. So let me give you the website again, www.knrcradio.com. I want to wish you all tonight. Hanukkah begins, I think. I think it's tonight. It's the first night of Hanukkah. So happy Hanukkah to our listeners. A merry, merry Christmas to our other listeners. I hope Kwanzaa is fabulous to our other groups of listeners and to all of you. I really am wishing you all the best this holiday season and a coming new year rich in blessings for all of us. So thanks. Thanks to all of you. I can't tell you how much I'm enjoying what we're doing here in Denver and all of you, even when we don't always agree. It's been lively and thought-provoking. So thank you. Hope you have a wonderful holiday season. Do something generous. Think about donating to the food bank your time, some perishables, your energy. Try to make the world a better place than you found it, particularly this holiday season. And I'll see you back here Monday the 29th. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
Good afternoon, sunny, 55 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Latter-day Saints. The thorny matter over whether testimony related to Kobe Bryant's accuser's medical records will be heard has been put on hold. Bruce Morton, covering today's hearing, reports from Eagle.
There are numerous points of view regarding whether the accuser's medical records should be heard in open court. As it turns out, Judge Terry Ruckriegel is giving just about everybody concerned a chance to state their case. He's asked attorneys from the defense, the prosecution, the victim, and the media to submit briefs by January 9th so that he may give a, quote, reasoned analysis as to how he should proceed because of a lack of case law to be his guide. A ruling is expected at the next scheduled hearing on January 23rd. Bruce Morton, Eagle, Colorado.
Former Denver District Attorney Norm Early says there is no law on the books regarding information the media can report.
Whenever a judge is deciding an issue of first impression, it becomes a somewhat difficult thing. He knows full well that once the cat's out of the bag, once the bell has been rung, you can't unring it. So that many of the things that are being disseminated in the media may or may not be a part of this trial.
Early believes that Judge Ruckriegel will trump the media's rights and choose the victim's right to privacy. Low-income Coloradans are getting more help with their high energy bills. The federal government is making another $600 million